on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Here we are at the end of another week, a full week, after last week's extended absence, brought about by what I consider to be a successful broadcast from the AFL-CIO convention in Pittsburgh. But it's been nice just to be here all week in the home studio, all my little knickknacks and the friendly little gargoyles looking down over me. My memorial cup from the, what were they? Yes, the Cornerstone Community Church at Floyd's Knobs, Indiana, reminding me that I can go there if I need field up. You know, little models of Porsche automobiles, a 356 and a 911. The things that just make home, home. Just nice to be here. It's a lovely, lovely Friday afternoon here in the hills and hollers of wild, wonderful, almost level West Virginia. And I'd like to think we've got a good show on tap. It is, of course, Friday on the front porch. It's a cool spring evening. So come on up. Put your feet up. Grab something icy and cold and long-necked out of the galvanized wash tub or Nice glass of sweet iced tea. Squeeze a little lemon in it if you want to. And we will, by Jove, as John Fox says in the opening to the program, the intro to the program, cuss and discuss. Because that's what this is all about. Friday on the front porch, just a little neighborly conversation. No hurries, no worries. You can light up the phones at 304-658-3333 on your nickel. Or if you need us to carry the freight toll-free, it's 877-443-2366. And see, I forget something every time. This time it was forgetting to deal with the ringer of the telephone. And Mr. Rogers had it so much easier. It was just a matter of a pair of sneakers and a cardigan sweater. But me? No. Too much stuff. So where do you want to go? I know I've got a few ideas. But for those of you out there who are contemplating, there's enough heavy stuff out there. Let's start out with at least a minor giggle. For those of you who are interested in calculating what kind of chicken raising operation you're going to need for the future Sue Loudon chicken medical economy, I can now send you or recommend to you a website. It is simply Loudon Plan, LOWDENPlan.com, and they have conveniently done the math for you. Now, I take it that these are retail numbers. Not, you know, chicken at the coop prices. But then again, if you bring a live chicken, you're going to... No, but loudonplan.com, they have conveniently looked into a number of different medical procedures and calculated the number of chickens you will need to pay for them. For instance, you know, I mentioned that our youngest, Doodle, recently had an appendectomy. And I found out by using loudonplan.com that that would have cost 1,019 chickens. Now, where are the surgeon's going to put all those chickens? Of course, he's probably going to have to share them with the hospital. But I don't know. But this is a far-ranging website. It notes, among other things, that let's be honest, it's not realistic to take 10,000 chickens to pay for major surgery, but 30 to 40 head of cattle, get some cows. Loudon Plan says, no problem, we offer full-grown cattle herds that you can ride to the hospital for major surgery, or just take a couple to pay for chemo. Republicans. Jeebus. I haven't heard yet if Mussolini has chimed in on this, because, you know, for her it would have to go far past chickens. I can't imagine that she wouldn't be a little bit upset that wild game had been left out of the equation. I mean, then again, if you're sick, how are you going to get that dead moose to the doctor? And I imagine they'll want the whole wolf as opposed to merely, the left foreleg of after you've shot it from a helicopter? Yeah. Yeah, this is a comedy gift that just keeps on giving. How could it not? But there is other stuff out there. Just in case you were wondering, and you know, I see the emails. People say, Bob, you know, teabaggers. Maybe we could reach out to them. I'm angry, and I hear this. I hear this from, I hear this on other liberal programs. I think I saw it on, one of the MSNBC programs the other night. Hey, you know, I'm angry too. Maybe we're just not getting the right message to the teabaggers. I have some audio here for you. You should probably think about this the next time you think, hey, you know, what we really need to do is just have a real good the kumbaya session, a sensitivity training session with the teabaggers, because the failure is ours. We just don't understand them. Well, this is from a teabag rally. This is from a recent teabag rally. And the person with the camera has a simple question of an individual who wants to eliminate government medical care. Do you want to close the VA?
So you want to end all government health care?
I think government should stay away from anything have to do with health care. We don't believe in socialized medicine. But I myself, a veteran that realized the American dream because my hard work and three jobs, I like to take care of my own doctor and get the best doctor money can buy to take care of my wounds. It's called capitalism, sir. Socialized medicine does not work. I am originally from Nicaragua. I run away from communism. I realize that communism does not work. Socialism does not work. And the death of America will be socialized medicine. That is so clear because I came to this country looking for freedom, for the freedom to choose my own doctor, not for the government to tell me when to live and when to die. I live for America, I work for America, and I love this country, and I can't stand socialism, I can't stand communism. The only good communist is a dead communist. You want to say anything more? Thank you, sir. The only good communist is a dead communist! Yeah! The only good communist is a dead communist! You got it?
He's got a sign that says Obamacare is the Obama-con.
So I take it you do want to close the VA then?
Sir, if a veteran cannot work, if a veteran's unable to function because of the inability of a war wound, let's go to charity hospital. We welcome them in New Orleans. We have charity hospital for those that can't work. But I myself, a veteran, a United States Marine Corps veteran that fought for this country, believe in freedom, freedom, and death to the damn commies. You got it? I say death to the commies. You get it? Death to the commies. Are you a commie? Are you a commie?
No.
Then stay alive, else you'll be dead. Now get out of here.
You really.
Get out of here, damn Connie! Get out of here before I wrap you up with this flag and throw you into the river!
What's wrong?
It's a damn communist! It's a damn communist!
He wants to close the VA!
Not never! I'm a veteran! United States Marine Corps! Hoorah!
You want to throw a veteran?
United States Marine Corps! Hoorah! I fought for this country, you son of a bitch! What did you do? What did you do? You parasite socialist! That's what you are, a parasite socialist! A lousy cockroach! A communist cockroach!
Tell him how you really feel.
If you don't want to die, stay alive. Stay alive if you don't want to die. How are you going to reach out to that clown? How are you going to reach out to that jerk? How are you going to reach out to that screaming homicidal maniac? And guess what? There's not a dime's worth of difference between him and the rest of the teabaggers. He ran away from communism in Nicaragua? Was he old enough to be a freedom fighter? You gotta wonder how many nuns he shot. How many death squads he participated in, because, you know, obviously he was working against the comunistas. And apparently never got any of that communist VA medical treatment for his, you know, anger issues. That's the people that some of us keep saying, you know, we're just not communicating with them correctly. All the guy asked him was, you know, do you want to close the VA? And he said, you know, I want to send them to charity hospitals. Charity hospitals. You know, because our veterans deserve charity, not the actual caring support of we, the people for whom they gave their service and received their wounds. No, we want to throw them onto charity. We want to make charity cases of them. Email rolling in from our buddy James. Jesus, that guy sure is effed up. Yeah, he is. But he's not, he is not some sort of isolated radical inside the Baggin movement. He is Bagger. Bagger is him. Resistance is futile. And he digs himself into a hole. In New Orleans, we have charity hospitals. Really? Really? You haven't, do you? You know, it was a piss-poor job that the federal government did responding to Katrina. But in better circumstances, with an administration that didn't openly loathe brown people, you know, not the Bush administration, the job could have been done considerably better. That there is a New Orleans at all has a lot to do with federal dollars that, you know, Bagger Man there hates. Doesn't want. Does that clown know that he got his taxes lowered this year? That, you know, that one in the, you know, White House lowered his taxes? Does he know that? I'm guessing, you know, the answer is no. And David in Tennessee noting that, going back to Sue Loudon for a minute, what do you want to bet? That goofy bubble-headed bleach blonde of a certain age. What do you want to bet that she's gotten a donation bump out of her chicken scam? What do you want to bet? Frankly, I wouldn't take the bet because I'm almost certain of it. You know, not only is resistance futile where those clowns are concerned, so is discourse. You can't carry on a conversation with a bagger because baggers aren't operating in the same universe in which you and I exist. Baggers live in that world where the Constitution contains whatever it is they fantasize that it contains on any given day. And they are a sick lot, because their fantasies are sick fantasies. You want an example of sick fantasies? Well, let's go to This isn't the story you think it is. Let's go to Arizona. There's a guy in Arizona by the name of Bill Davis. He calls himself a militia man. Channel 5 KOLD on Channel 5 KOLD News. They did a little piece on Bill Davis and a current recruiting operation that he has underway. You might find KOLD's reportage interesting, to say the very least. Let's give it a listen.
The founder of Cochise County Militia Group says he's looking for a few good combat veterans with kill records. Bill Davis says after the death of Robert Krentz near Douglas, Southern Arizonans can no longer be passive. So he's putting together an armed militia to camp out on the border. Davis says he wants professionals who are not afraid to use deadly force, but also know when and when not to use it.
All we could do is call the Border Patrol and hope they pick them up and wail down the road. We're not going to do that anymore. If we think they're carrying contraband, drugs, weapons, we'll get out in front of them and stop them. They won't get past us.
I think that their presence, as well-intended as it may be, is obviously not the right thing to do with this.
That's the sheriff of the county, Tony Estrada. Yeah, fine old Irish name, Estrada. What is this "as well-intentioned as it might be" BS? There's nothing well-intentioned about recruiting killers to shoot people who haven't been charged with any crimes. And this is the crowd that thinks that they are guardians of the Constitution. Holy cow. And by the way, to those listening on the rerun stream, my apologies. Stupid Bob forgot to click the record button, so you just missed the first 17 minutes of the program. That's my fault, not yours. But picking up where we left off, this is the danger of what happens when a country forgets its civics. This is the danger of what happens when a country neglects to actually learn what is in it's enabling legislation. There's nothing in the Constitution about securing the borders with armed killers. Let's see what else Sheriff Tony Estrada. That's a fine old Italian name, Estrada. No, it's a fine old German name. No, it's probably Icelandic.
It's very risky and it's very dangerous. These individuals that are moving people or drugs through these remote areas of the border will stop at nothing.
Members of law enforcement worry militia could get caught in the crossfire.
Caught in the crossfire? Sounds to me like they intend to start the crossfire. What was that quote? What was that quote from Bill Davis? And he's a grizzled old guy sitting in a webbing lawn chair or something. And if it comes, and you can, that's not exactly a Southern Arizona accent, is it? Is that what we're dealing with? People say that the border areas are magnets for illegal aliens, but just listening to Bill Davis, it sort of makes me think that Arizona and places like it are magnets for bigoted racist malcontents as well. Let's listen to that accent again and see if we can place it within some geographic region of the Great Southwest.
The founder of Cochise County Militia Group says he's looking for a few good combat veterans with kill records. Bill Davis says after the death of Robert Krentz near Douglas, Southern Arizonans can no longer be passive. So he's putting together an armed militia to camp out on the border. Davis says he wants professionals who are not afraid to use deadly force, but also know when and when not to use it.
All we could do is call the Border Patrol and hope they pick them up a mile down the road.
Yeah, what we could do is call the Border Patrol and hope they pick them up a mile down the road. What part of Arizona does that accent come from? Just ask it.
We're not going to do that anymore. If we think they can.
Yeah, we're not going to do that anymore. Had to leave his homeland. He's displaced. He had to He had to leave his homeland because it was overrun by the liberals.
Carrying contraband, drugs, weapons. We'll get out in front of them and stop them. They won't get past us.
I think that they're...
They won't get past us. Makes you wonder if his nickname's, you know, Billy the D or something. Sitting there in his flannel shirt. If it comes to when shots are fired... Well, okay, no, like Billy. If it comes to when shots are fired in the general direction of these guys, they have my authorization to return fire. If they're in defense of their life or their buddy next to them, return fire, stop it as fast as it starts, and they're capable of it. Did you notice that? They have his authorization. They did, well, then again, there was a bill signed today that, for all we know, it may provide the state of Arizona may be providing authorization now. This guy is actually advertised for combat veterans with kill records. With kill records. You know, I'm having some second thoughts here. You know, not too long back, you know how excited I am. We're going to be going, I'm sincerely hoping, and things are looking quite good, we're going to be going and doing some rather massive coverage of Netroots Nation this summer, late July. Nothing like late July in Las Vegas. And I called up MapQuest. Said, you know, give me a route from West Virginia to Las Vegas. And what it has me doing is going across I-64 to St. Louis and taking some road that runs down to Springfield and jogging down through Tulsa to Oklahoma City and picking up another road that's going to wind me up in Amarillo, Texas, and shoot me across New Mexico and Arizona and then into Vegas. Knowing what I know, I got real misgivings about going through Arizona. Or, and I'm sorry, Texas. New Mexico I'm not quite so creeped out by yet. Lord knows I'd love to go through Albuquerque. But I'm wondering if I need to find some sort of great northern route and go across to Denver and swing south or something. Do you blame me? I don't know how people... I know there's a significant liberal community in Arizona. A member of our Horn family spends a significant portion of her year every year in Arizona, our dear Kate. And frankly, I don't know how she does. I don't know how anybody does. At this point in time, I don't, and of course the weirdos, wing nuts, birthers, baggers, deathers, tenthers, and assorted booger eaters would be more than happy for all the liberals to leave. Well, you know, that or politely line up to be shot. But I don't know how people do it. I don't know how you live liberal in Arizona. Our dear Fancy is out there. I don't know how y'all do it. Every day to be bombarded with this racist BS, this bigoted, phobic, xenophobic, and I'm sure there's some homophobia hiding in there too somewhere. Just to be awash in that swill day after day after day after tormented day. To me, it would be like dealing with some sort of mental abuse. I don't know. Maybe for folks out there, it's a lot like what it is for us here dealing with the realities of mountaintop removal. David in Tennessee informing me that the guy, Bill Davis from Arizona, is from that portion of Alabama that lies centrally between Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. It wasn't far enough north to be a true New York accent. Lord knows it wasn't Bostonian. I was thinking maybe Jersey-ish, but no, it could, yeah, I think David's onto something. He's probably from... somewhere, yeah, that portion of Alabama that lies between Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. Going back to the screaming Nicaraguan clown, James says, I had, he says, not to worry. That guy is going to blow up. And, you know, if you go to loudonplan.com, you can find out how many chickens it costs to have your aneurysm repaired. Sometimes it's hard to fire up the microphone in the evening. Just because you know that this is what you're dealing with. Openly recruiting. And you know, the bubble-headed bleach blonde newsreader so blithely says, and he's looking for people with kill records. It's like saying, you know, he's looking for people with experience laying block. And there was video footage accompanying the report that just showed, it showed the border. And the border was nothing more than a range fence. In a matter of inches, the difference between Mexico and the United States, and you know what, the land was the same on either side. Unforgiving, arid, desert-like conditions. Now, the President Obama has opined on the Arizona legal travesty. He said it was irresponsible. He said it was misguided. He said it threatens notions, basic notions of fairness. Governor Jan Brewer signed the damn thing into law. She said she did it because she was doing what I believe is the right thing so that everyone is treated fairly. Really, Governor Brewer? So everyone is treated fairly? I'm guessing Governor Brewer missed that little story about the Arizona truck driver. You know the one. The guy who was guilty of appearing Hispanic while public. And I guess he is Hispanic of heritage. But he is also a United States citizen. Inconveniently for the law enforcement involved. His wife had to bring down a copy of his birth certificate. I don't know if it was long form or short form. I presume it was a certificate of live birth. But who knows? This is astonishing. This is a frightening world. These dumb bastards have guns, a bad attitude, and really, really, really tiny brains. If that's not enough to give you the sweats, I don't know what is. Because personally, it gives me a case of the... Well, like I said, I'm thinking about trying to figure out a way to stay out of Arizona. I don't think I could be accused of being secretly Hispanic or anything. I look rather... Well, I don't know, but then again, that's not necessarily what this legislation is about. This legislation opens the door to anything that the cops might decide makes you a suspect. It's up to them to determine it. It can't withstand constitutional scrutiny, but it's there. As sure as God made little green apples, it's there. Crazy country we live in. Let's do here, President Obama, on this immigration bill real quick.
Indeed, our failure to act responsibly at the federal level will only open the door to irresponsibility by others. And that includes, for example, the recent efforts in Arizona, which threaten to undermine basic notions of fairness that we cherish as Americans, as well as the trust between police and their communities that is so crucial to keeping us safe. In fact, I've instructed members of my administration to closely monitor the situation and examine the civil rights and other implications of this legislation. But if we continue to fail to act at a federal level, we will continue to see misguided efforts opening up around the country. As a nation, as a people, we can choose a different future, a future that keeps faith with our history, with our heritage, and with the hope that America is always inspired in the hearts of people all over the world.
Nothing to argue with there. But would it hurt to say, I think this nightmare bill is as unconstitutional as the day is long? You know, because it is. Some of these thugs have to be called out. They just do. Silence is acceptance. And, you know, I don't want Barack Obama to be some sort of raving ideologue. I'd like for him to be a little more liberal than he is. I'd like for him to be a lot more liberal than he is. But I think what it is that I want a little Harry Truman is what I want. I really do. A little bit of plain speech. A little bit of, you know, this bill is unconstitutional and we're going to attack it as at the first instant we can. Right? Yeah. Let's run to the phones. Or not. So that's how the program begins this evening. How it continues is entirely up to you. Like I said, you know, we're kind of laid back here. This is Friday on the front porch. Nothing driving things that you don't drive. Anything you want to bring is fine by me. We will try the phones again. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, boss.
Hey, boss, what's up?
Same old man, busy.
That's your middle name these days, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It's exciting, too. I'm trying to keep up with a bunch of young guys. Really excites me. I think it's good for me. I don't know.
They may be keeping you young.
Exactly. So, I know I've called and not held on a couple times this week. Last night, one of them, but...
You're one of them. All right.
Yeah. I was on my way to a Meet the Candidate thing, and, you know, we were going into the court thing, and, you know, so I had to dump it. But we talked the other night. Did you ever find the page about the penalties for health care thing?
I have not. I have done some looking, but apparently not enough.
Okay. I wished I could call up that... What the hell's his name was filling in for Ed Schultz and...
Lawrence O'Donnell?
Lawrence O'Donnell, yeah, because he's the guy that brought it up. And I know he, you know, he said the page number and he read it, you know. And, you know, through all the legalese, and I mean, what it comes down to is the penalty for having health insurance is there's no penalty. You know, so, I really want to find that because it's come up a couple times since.
And you know, there's another one of those. I was just looking at the a tweet from Michael Moore, and he said, first person to find where in the health care bill it says the fine is $100 a day for denial of due to pre-existing conditions, I'll wash your car.
Exactly. There is none. And, you know, and what that translates to is there is no mandate. You know, and like, I think it was Lawrence O'Donnell said, he said, you know, The Republicans don't want to tell you this because they want to scare you with it, and the Democrats don't want to tell you that because they want everybody to get health care, you know, which, you know, I can kind of understand, but, you know, I think, well, I'm a great believer in the truth will set you free, you know. That's, I mean, you know, just tell them the truth, that's all. I think eventually this thing is going to work out where it's going to be affordable and advantageous for everyone to have health care, and so I don't think that's really going to be a problem, but we will see.
And, you know, where you're dealing with the teabaggers, it doesn't matter if it's there or not. These people are past reason.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right, you know. I mean, they're so good at... Well, I don't know. It's hard to fathom or understand how Mitch McConnell can stand there and lie with a straight face and know that it's a lie and just continue day after day after day, like all of them. I mean...
Everybody's got to be good at something, Wayne.
Oh, God.
They're good at that.
Well, these people excel. I guess you got to give them credit for that. You're really good at that lying bullshit, but damn. It just amazes me. Absolutely amazes me. So, we've been very busy here with Meet the Candidates thing and stuff, and I don't know if you remember a few months ago I called you on the way to Princeton, you know, started up a COPE committee, which stands for Committee on Political Education, down in Mercer County, and a couple of my younger counterparts are the head of it, you know, but the old man's their mentors and stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're mentoring, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. And I'm telling you, it's exciting to have, you know, I've been complaining for years that we need young blood here. I'm tired of going to all these meetings of Democratic people and they're older than I am. And, you know, that's getting old. I mean, you know.
Yeah,
that they're not productive people or anything like that, but.
You got to have a next generation.
Well, yeah, they're not going to be here forever, you know. I mean, I'm sorry. The fact of the matter is ain't nobody ever made it out of here alive, pal. That's the truth, you know. That's a fact. So we got to get some young blood, and these young guys are very encouraging. They want to learn. They want to be involved, and. And they're making a difference down there. They're making a difference. And, you know, we're in a major battle over the sheriff down there and a bunch of dirty politics. But
otherwise known as West Virginia politics.
Yes, yes. And we showed up last night at Mercer County Courthouse in probably one of the largest, you know, courtrooms they have. And I mean, the place was packed, and it was a strictly Democratic function, you know, for a Democratic candidate. And our embattled sheriff candidate who was been arrested by the prosecuting attorney and the state police. And
the prosecutor's a Republican running for circuit judge.
Yeah. I knew we had a long fight. I came home. I don't know, I think it was on the 16th last week for lunch, and I turned on the news and, newsflash, candidate for Mercer County Sheriff arrested, and I'm going, all right, far out, you know, because I figured, well, we just eliminated one of the guys we're running against, and then they said, Charles Butch Blizzard, and I went, wrong guy.
Yeah, that's our guy.
And, you know, so I start getting phone calls. Oh, my God, brother. I said, wait a minute, man. I said, I'm telling you, this is a setup. Something's wrong.
It stinks.
You know, before you get all excited, let's go talk to our candidate. And we did. And you're talking about a guy who was out defending his family against a drug dealer and a child molester. And, you know, I just told everybody, I said, listen, we got to get our side of the story out. We got to stand behind our guy. Even if we end up losing, we have to fight the right, the good fight. You know, stand behind your man.
Yeah, you can't let him run you.
No, you can't, man. No, you can't. So, and, you know, I mean, the incident happened on March 21st. This guy that's running is a 38-year veteran of the West Virginia State Police, was commander of the Southern Command, which there's only three commands in West Virginia. And, he is just, he's such a decent, honest, hardworking man and brand new to politics. And, you know, I mean, he's just shell-shocked. He can't believe this. And, you know, he said, why would they do it? I said, Butch, you know, this is dirty politics at its best, buddy. And, you know, we're just going to fight this thing. That's all. And I told him, I said, we're going to make up signs and wherever you are, we're going to be there with the signs that says, we support Butch Blizzard for sheriff. And once you know the truth, you will too. And I honestly and truly believe that. So,
well, in essence, the facts behind the case at present involve this veteran lawman essentially confronting this alleged drug dealer and child abuser and telling him, you know, this ain't going to wash.
No, it ain't. Yeah, that's exactly what he did.
And that was nearly a month ago. And in the intervening month, the Republican prosecuting attorney who is running for circuit judge, who is connected to county politics, has leaned on some noobs inside the state police to bring these charges. It took 3 weeks to do it. That's 3 weeks of pretty serious arm twisting.
Yes, it is. And just let me correct one thing. The guy is definitely Republican, but he claims he's a Democrat.
The prosecutor does?
Yeah. Well, he's running on a Democratic ticket.
Oh, he is. Okay, yeah. Okay.
But you're absolutely correct that he's a Republican, you know. You know what I call conservative Democrats?
Dinos?
No, I call them Republicans.
Oh. Well, there's our first straight line setup and punchline of the night.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. You know, I don't buy that conservative shit. You know, you're confused. You're really a Republican. Democrats are Democrats, you know. And, well, they're not all liberal enough, but, you know, some of them you could handle.
Some you can work with, some not so much.
The ones that say I'm a conservative Democrat, well, that's your Republican.
Well, it's kind of like what'll happen on May 11th when I go to the polls in the primary here in my county, Wayne. I'm going to have to put I may as well just walk into the polls with a clothespin on my nose.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's exactly right. And there, you know, well, that's a disgusting, you know, thing about politics, man. You know, I'm 65 years old and, you know, I don't remember too many elections that, you know, in most cases, you're voting for the lesser of two evils. You know, I'm sorry.
And you wind up with the evil of two lessers.
Right. I don't feel that was the case in the last presidential election, but these are, you know, the local elections and all that stuff, I mean, it's just, well. And, you know, that's why they're so against this guy, the prosecuting attorney, and, you know, your usual courthouse gang and, you know, all that stuff is because they're scared, they're afraid to death of it, you know. This guy is, he'd much rather go after a corrupt politician than, you know, some poor working guy that, you know, broke the law and,
yeah, well, this is kind of a hillbilly version of Walking Tall, if you recall that.
Yeah, that's a whole bunch like it. Yeah, that's a whole bunch like it. He's just rough. He's a good man, and like I said, we're going to we're going to stand behind him and see what we could do here. I mean, he's got four opponents in the Democratic primary, you know. But
I don't know. Maybe it was the Republican. I'm not sure. Another sheriff's candidate down in that county got arrested.
Yeah, then that's strange. For truancy, yeah.
Yeah, for refusing to send. But you know how that one plays. Well, I just wasn't sending my boy to the government school.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, the teabaggers will love them. And I'm sure there's quite a few of them in Mercer County, but.
Well, you've been to the meetings, right? I mean, you'd be in a position to know that.
Oh, yeah. Last night, I mean, it was beautiful. When we walked in, I mean, that courthouse was absolutely full, you know. And we walked in, there were no seats. It's kind of like church pews. That's a big courtroom, you know. They got a lot of crime in Mercer County. You know, Mercer County sends more people to jail. The only county that surpasses them is Kanawha.
No kidding. And the population comparison between the two is
vast. Not a comparison. No comparison.
Kanawha County's the biggest county in the state, and
Mercer County's, I don't know.
It tiny.
You know, probably the smallest, or, you know, in the last 10 of the of size. I don't know. But when we walked in, there was me and two other union reps and the sheriffs, and, you know, we all had our gold Union Yes pins on, and the sheriff, and, I mean, when we opened that door and walked in, brother, it was a statement being made. You know, everybody looked, and it was pretty good. We sat down, and, you know, our candidate got up and spoke along with, you know, a bunch of other candidates. And I told Butch, how important it is that you got to go to these things, man. You can't, any event you don't show up, they're going to it's going to appear like you're hiding. And we can't have that. So
no, every bean dinner, every ramp dinner, every pancake breakfast.
Exactly. We got to be there, and we're going to be with you. And we'll see what we could do. We'll see what we could do. And like I said, I met with his lawyer and da-da-da-da-da, and I don't have a whole bunch of confidence in his lawyer, but, I mean, his lawyer's talking about how he's going to get him off, and, you know, I told him, you know, anybody could get him off. What I'm worried about is the election. I mean, you know, it's pretty, when you don't have a case, it's pretty hard to convict somebody. But I don't know. You know, we'll see what happens in the newspaper next week. Supposedly all this stuff is going to be exposed. And eventually there will be a people arrested, which should have happened a long time ago, but it takes too long to do some of these things. But, I think we have a shot.
That's why these things get timed out the way they do.
That's exactly right. So.
Well, Wayne, I don't know if you heard the news, but rather grim business. We've got another dead miner in another non-union coal mine in West Virginia this evening.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, this one, not Massey, but this is ICG's Pocahontas Beckley underground operation.
ICG?
Yeah.
The Sago.
Yeah, the fine people who brought you Sago. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. I was talking to a coal miner this evening, Clyde McKnight. You know Clyde.
Sure.
Clyde's been doing a lot of interviews. I mean, the Wall Street Journal, public radio, blah, 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 you know, a lot of interviews. And, Friday shut down all the mines.
Right.
And do inspections. Well, the mines above, the Massey mine above the one that had the explosion and all the deaths, they didn't do any inspections. They worked. They produced coal all day Friday.
Yeah, that massive mountaintop removal operation? Yep.
No, this was a deep mine. There's a deep mine above that, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Now, they produce coal.
Well, you heard what this, I don't know, maybe you weren't listening last night, but it just kind of blew me away, this statement that was issued from the lead independent director of Massey's board of directors, this the creepy dude named retired Admiral Bobby Ray Inman down in Austin, Texas. He said, yeah. Now, I'm a political independent, but all this bashing of Massey for union propaganda, it's enough to make a Tea Partier out of me.
You're already a Tea Partier.
Well, there you go.
Right. Yeah, well, I don't know if people understand. You know, the difference between a union coal mine and a non-union coal mine is a union coal mine is first all about safety. All about safety. And when they do inspections, federal inspections of a mine, a union mine, there's also a union mine inspector with him. And, you know, if the federal inspector or state inspector misses something, the union inspector picks it up. And nobody has to be afraid of their job. Nobody has to be afraid of pointing out a safety issue and losing their job. Now, that puts them at a disadvantage because it makes it harder for a union mine to keep up production with a non-union mine. You know, they manage to do it in most cases. But, you know, when you put workers first, sometimes production isn't quite as much, but you know.
Yeah, if I read this thing,
the most important thing is
if I read this thing correctly, the poor man got pinned between the face and a continuous miner.
Oh God!
And that's just horrifying even to contemplate.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, I hadn't heard that, and I'm sorry about that. Yeah.
But it got me thinking. It got me thinking about the Employee Free Choice Act, Wayne, and the fact that Blanche Lincoln and Ben Nelson of Nebraska and Joe Lieberman stopped it in its tracks a year ago.
Yes, they did.
How many of these dead miners would be alive now? We can't know. We don't
know. We can't know. We can't know. You know, but
yeah, the news story.
You know, I could say for sure that their chances would have been a hell of a lot better of being alive if it was a union mine.
Yeah, the statement from ICG says, and the person is nameless thus far. An employee of ICG Beckley in Raleigh County, West Virginia, received serious injuries last night at approximately 11 p.m. while operating a continuous miner machine. The accident occurred when the employee got caught between the continuous miner and the coal rib. He was rushed to Raleigh General Hospital and then airlifted to CAMC. After undergoing surgery, he died today from his injuries. And for folks who don't know, you ever seen a continuous miner?
No, I have not.
It's a massive machine. It's got a rolling drum with huge steel teeth on it.
It's like a tunnel machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it moves back and forth across the face.
Right.
At incredible, really stunning, incredible speeds. And to say that someone got caught between the continuous miner and the coal rib is to say that person died a horrible, horrible death.
Yes. Well, he was ground up.
Yes.
Is what it was. Jesus. It's amazing that he lived as long as he did.
Yeah.
You know. And, you know. Oh God, that's hard to even imagine.
Yeah, it is, and the, you know, the thing that drives me crazy is, at what point do these men look up and decide to organize? I mean, we know that it can happen.
Wonder too, you know, it's And, you know, I mean, they're out there providing for their family. I know what they're doing, but, you know, you can't provide for your family after you're dead. And,
And frankly, the workers' comp death benefit has been watered down to where it will not take care of a family with income replacement for the rest of their days.
No, they will not.
You could at least make that argument once upon a time.
Right.
It doesn't anymore because a certain governor we know, well, he privatized our workers' comp system.
That he did. It's, I think, I think after a little while here, a respectable period and stuff, I think that these people have to be talked to by union miners and the United Mine Workers. And you know, not that they haven't tried. And you know that this mine, at one time, they had 70% of the cards signed.
Yeah.
At the very mine that blew up. And then Don Blankenship visited them and informed them if they voted yes for the union that he would shut down the mine. That's a fact, you know. And, but at some point these guys have to they have to stand up. When you got 150 guys or 200 guys on a shift and all 200 of them guys say, we're not going into the mine until you do this, you carry some weight.
Yeah, bargaining power.
When you have two guys that say that, they are fired and replaced with 100 guys that are standing outside that gate to take their job. And, they're strength in numbers, brother. And the unions have proved that many times, and it's time that, people start to realize that again and get together and start standing. Hell, you don't call it a union. I don't care. Call it the 200 guys on the night shift.
Yeah, the Benevolent and Protective Order of Coal Miners.
There you go. Call it whatever you want, But got to start standing together.
Because this state, this region can't take another one of these.
No, it can't.
And, this is the exact opposite of what happened a few years ago with Sago, Wayne. The irony was not lost on me. We had Sago where we lost, 13 miners? And that was followed by the Aracoma mine fire where we lost two. And this time, and it's the exact opposite because Sago was ICG and Aracoma was Massey. This time we've got a massive Massey disaster followed by a smaller horror at an ICG mine. And the only thing, I know that I participated online in a discussion with someone who has some authority and has done some research and says it's statistically insignificant, the difference between union versus non-union deaths in coal mines. And I don't have the statistics at hand to analyze, but I find that difficult to believe. And, the fact of the matter is, both of these are non-union mines. They just are. And either one of them would do in everything short of absolutely shutting down to keep from having a union in there.
Yep. But that's because they, and in many cases, and another thing that amazes me about these non-union miners is, for our area and everything, they make pretty good money, and they have pretty good benefits. But they don't seem to realize that if it wasn't for the United Mine Workers, they would be working for minimum wage. It's just that simple. It's similar of all unions. Even the building trade unions. The non-union people, they're when we get contracts and we get our raises raised, their wages go up. Not quite as much, but they go up because their companies don't want them to become union. And in many cases, union mines pay more than the United Mine Workers contract. The reason they do that is to stop them from being union.
Precisely. And even the numbers that that are bandied about are not necessarily as good as they say. Our good friend Rory set out some data earlier that I found very interesting. You know, the West Virginia Coal Association is fond of saying that every coal mining job in West Virginia supports a bajillion other jobs in West Virginia.
But well, the number, 8.
Well, no, the actual number is 2.1.
I'll believe.
And the jobs that it supports pay an average wage of around $33,000 a year.
Okay.
And by the way, this is particularly interesting. We bandy about that $62,000 a year number that for coal miners. Well, that's a number that comes from the West Virginia Coal Association, and the Bureau of Economic Analysis has another number that they say is $74,100 a year average per miner. Guess what? The average coal miner in West Virginia only makes about $48,000 a year.
Okay.
That's still pretty large money for a job in West Virginia.
For a job in West Virginia, yes.
But consider...
Not the rest of the world, but for a job in West Virginia.
Yeah, and consider also, though, Wayne, that, you know, we saw... And I don't know how to say this without sounding like an ass, but we saw 29 horrible deaths in Upper Big Branch. That's basically the majority of the crew that was in there. You know, the Monongah disaster in the early part of the 20th century. God, that was 400 or 500 people, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Farmington was how many? 200 or so in 1968?
Yeah, 168 or 178, something
right.
Like that.
The Eccles Mine disaster that there's a historical marker for on the lawn of the Raleigh County Courthouse.
Yep.
Notes what 170 some.
Some.
Yeah, yeah. And many of those were never recovered, and ICG is pouring coal waste on their bones as we speak.
Right.
Well, in this Massey mine, because of mechanization of things like continuous miners. You can do it with 30 people.
Right.
So,
exactly.
You know, eventually, if the coal industry could figure out a way to do it, they would do it without human beings at all.
That's exactly right.
And then you gotta ask, what is it worth to West Virginia? You know, we've got real, live, honest to God, mathematically, properly modeled, statistical, the yada, yada, yada. And we know that for every dollar that West Virginia coal brings to this state, we pay out 5.
Right.
Now, how in heaven's name is that a bargain?
It's not a bargain. How do you get people to understand that? I don't know. I don't know.
I don't either, because
look at the situation. I mean, you're not dealing with reasonable people. Look at the situation down at Gold River. You can have wind farms on the land that will produce, what, $1.8 million in taxes a year for infinity. Or you could go in there and mountaintop mine it and get some taxes for 14 years.
Right.
But after the 14 years are done, then the windmills are no longer viable. Okay, we're going to mine it. What the hell is that? I mean, you know, we're...
And don't think for a minute that there haven't been meetings with the Raleigh County Commission where we've said, you know, look at the numbers. You were there.
Yeah. And, you know, go figure.
And what's the Raleigh County Commission say? Well, we don't want to be forced to choose between the two.
Exactly. We can't pick sides, you know. Well, what the hell is your job? What were you elected?
Well, what are you doing right now? You're picking sides. You're saying blow up the mountain.
That's exactly what they did, didn't they?
Yeah, devastate the earning potential of an entire region of your county because you're scared to death of the coal industry.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. You know, that's why this political stuff is so damn distorted.
Well, that was what I was about to say.
People. Yes, that's why we have to elect people that think right. That are uncorruptible. I mean, you know, you make enough damn money. How much money do you need? And, you know, are you willing to take more money so that people die? Is that, you know, we got to fight it. We just got to fight it. And, you know, and that's what, you know, well, and you know, I've harped on this before. You know, when I listen to the news and they start talking about how the enthusiasm for the Republicans is so much higher than the enthusiasm for the Democrats, what the hell is that? You know, and people that are upset with Obama, and, you know, I'm not upset with Obama. Do I wish he'd done more things? Do I wish, you know, but then you sit down, you got to consider the alternative. Then you got to look at what has happened in the 18 months that he's been president. It's absolutely phenomenal. That, you know, and, you know, I mean, I don't, you know, I mean, I'm a great believer in what Jim Hightower said many years ago, that, you know, the hell with Dow Jones, how's Doug Jones getting along? But, you know, the Republicans and all these right wingers, I mean, that stock market is the, you know, great indicator of the economy. Well, the damn stock market is up over 3,000 points since Barack Obama has become president. How come you don't hear anything about that? If that was John McCain that was elected president, you'd hear about that every day.
We'd already be building the statues.
Yes, we would. You know.
They'd be kind of hunched over and cranky looking, but we'd already be building the statues.
Exactly. And people that, you know, look at this health care bill. Find out what this health care bill does. This is it everything we wanted? No, but it is one hell of a start.
And is it, you know, is it ground from which we can begin to work to make things better?
That's exactly right. Social Security when it was first enacted, isn't the same Social Security that we have today. It's much better. Medicare and Medicaid are not the same things that was originally passed. They're much better. And in years to come, this health care bill will become much better. And, it, you know, it has very excellent points right now. You know, who's going to argue about your children being able to stay on your insurance policy until they're 26 years old? Who's going to argue, you know, you're against eliminating pre-existing conditions? You know, you're against ending caps on yearly and lifetime what the insurance company would have to pay.
And frankly, you're right. You know. And frankly, if there were any doubts, Wayne, about the fact that we had to take this step, can you imagine if the health care bill had failed, what they would be up to, considering what the insurance companies are doing with it in place? This business with the statistical sampling, I know Mike Malloy covered it in depth last night on his program. I don't. Did you see this about what WellPoint got up to with their little denials and their statistical sampling algorithms?
No.
They started a new program where they were using a statistical algorithm computer, who's this gizmo, to determine who was practicing fraud on the company.
Mm.
They started with breast cancer patients.
Yes, I did see something about that.
And just started dumping breast cancer patients for the hell of it. Because their computer statistical model told them to. And that doesn't need to be fixed?
Right.
That doesn't...
Let's repeal that, man.
Because, you know, we can't have people in the middle of breast cancer treatment continuing to have treatment.
No, that's fraudulent.
And the insurance company was using the claims, for instance, that the insured engaged in fraud against the company because they didn't say that they had acne when they were teenagers.
Right.
You know, non-material. These guys are working hard to prove that those of us who were arguing for universal single-payer health care were right all along.
Exactly.
They're making our case for us. And it remains to be seen if those on Capitol Hill will hear it and listen. You know, Alan Grayson has that bill out there to expand Medicare. We need to get behind that a bajillion percent.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Scream it from the housetops.
Because that is, you know, and I mean, that is ultimately how we have to work for, you know. I had a very interesting conversation with a real good friend of yours yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, John Pino.
Yeah, we're pals.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. He knows who I am. I mean, you know, he and there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, our organization was a very significant force in Mr. Pino not winning his last election, you know, with all our little flyers and mailers we sent out and that. So he knows who we are. So I sat down and talked to him, and we're talking all that, and he said, well, I want to tell you, I think this health care bill that they pass, and, you know, I was ready. He said, this is the greatest thing that the Democrats have ever done. And I went, John, I'm very happy to hear you say that.
Oh, look at you finding the foot of the cross.
Yeah, you know. So, you know, I don't know. He's all, and he thanked me for, you know, this is probably the most civil conversation I've ever had with anybody from your organization. And I said, well, I'm a civil kind of guy, John. It doesn't mean I'm going to agree with you all the time, but I'm glad we had this conversation, and I hope we could have another, you know, because, believe me, I'm doing everything I possibly can to make sure he doesn't get reelected, but, you know, you can't always count on
that. Well, that's what I went, that goes back to what I said about going into the booth with a clothespin on my nose. I got a choice between two twits and an idiot.
Exactly. And, you know.
The idiot will remain nameless.
Yes.
Because I'm going to wind up voting for the idiot.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know. It's, but anyway, if he does manage to win re-election, you know, at some point I'm going to have to deal with him. And, but the hell, it's worth a shot. It's worth a shot. So, but I got an exciting weekend coming up.
Yeah?
Yeah, I guess, you remember when I was a driver for Bill Clinton?
Yes, I do.
His entourage?
Yes.
Well, it looks like I'm going to be a driver for Barack Obama's entourage Sunday.
When he comes to do the memorial for the miners.
Yes. And, well, I'm kind of excited about that.
Oh, you've got every right to be.
And I've got, two of my fellow carpenters are also going to be drivers. I arranged that, too. So they're bringing a lot of people. From my understanding, there's two Air Force Type 1 airplanes going to land at the Raleigh County Airport. So I don't know how many people they're bringing, but it ought to be an interesting day.
No, I got a busy little day ahead of me tomorrow as well. Tomorrow marks the Earth Day festivities in Fayetteville.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and I'm gonna have the enjoyable opportunity to spend the afternoon sitting at table with our dear friend, yours and mine, and everybody on the horn, Judy Bonds.
Oh, very good.
So we will take that. That renegade table from your place that happens to still live here, and a cooler to put bottles of water in and stuff, and we'll sit there and educate people about mountaintop removal.
Well, you couldn't be in finer company.
Without a doubt.
And, I hope it's a very productive day. You know, it's fun telling people the truth.
You know what? You know? It's easy.
Yeah, it is.
But I'm also not naive enough to think that I won't get some people showing up and, you know, why are you talking bad on the coal miners?
How come you want to end all coal mining tomorrow morning?
Yeah, right. Monday at the latest.
Yeah, at the very latest, yeah. I know. But we keep fighting. And that's my message to people, too. I mean, I don't want to hear about sitting home. I don't want to hear about not voting. We had a 60-seat majority there for a while, but we never did.
No, we didn't.
We never did. I mean, you know, with the Blanche Lincolns and the Nelsons.
Yeah, when you're counting those, you don't know.
No, you know, how the hell is that, you know? And, you know, well, you know that Nate Silver?
Yeah.
What the hell is that, 648 or?
Yeah.
I forget, yeah, something like that. Which, you know, pretty accurate guy. Well, he gives, he said there's only a 6% chance of the Republicans taking over the Senate, and his best figure is they would get 4 seats. They would gain 4 seats. And the Democrats have a 7% chance of gaining seats. So, and I think that, you know, if...
So the middle there is a loss of, you know, 2 or 3 seats.
Exactly.
And the only... The
and
only...
I hope one of them is Blanche Lincoln.
Yep.
You know, which, that's 0 seats we lost, you know. I mean, if it's her, you know. And, well, hell, we could lose 3 seats and still be at 0. You know. I mean, they're not on our side anyway. So, you see the governor of Arizona, I mean, my God, with that legislation they passed?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's Juanita is telling me via email right now that there is a trucker boycott in the works of the state of Arizona. That'll work out nicely for them.
Yeah, that'll work out real nice.
So much for I've been from Tucson to Tucumcari.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll just take the Tucson part out.
Well, very good. Very good. I hadn't heard about the truck boycott.
Yeah, the story from McClatchy starts out and says 2 or 3 times a week, truck driver Jesus Serrano hauls loads of Mexican-grown produce from warehouses in Nogales, Arizona, which is just across the U.S.-Mexico border, to distribution centers in Los Angeles. He plans to stop making the trip now that Arizona Republican Governor Jan Brewer has signed a stringent anti-illegal immigration bill into law, however, and he's recruited other truck drivers to join him. Ain't it a beautiful thing when working people organize, Wayne?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And lo and behold, you know, this
is a wonderful thing.
And this guy's an independent owner-operator. It's not like he's a Teamster or anything.
Okay.
But he says he's got about 70 drivers based in California and Arizona who have agreed to stop moving loads into or out of Arizona in protest of the new law. He's looking to get 200 truckers on board for a 5-day boycott that'll start within 48 hours of the bill's signing.
You know what another beautiful thing would be about that is?
What?
Is people will realize what truckers do. You know, I mean, people don't think about them. All they do is bitch about them, and hell, I'm one of them, you know, out on the highway. Get over here, yeah, son of a, yeah, but, you know. Do you know how much of our stuff travels in trucks? All of it. At some point or another, but it's going to get on a truck. And, you know. When you go to your grocery store and there's no lettuce and bananas and tomatoes and meat and, you know.
Yeah.
I think maybe people will stop and realize, well, wait a minute, maybe we made a wrong move here. I mean, I couldn't have made, I was just amazed at how proud of herself she was. You know. And, you know. Which, I mean, and what the hell does the law say? If you ain't Lily White, we're stopping your ass.
Right. And look, I mean, you know me. I get a sunburn under a refrigerator, under the refrigerator
you're
light bulb.
Safe.
And you know, I'm contemplating, like I said earlier, I'm contemplating a drive across country this summer for Netroots Nation.
Yeah.
I got to figure out a way not to go through Arizona.
Yeah. Oh, God. Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. And you know, there's another thing. That, and, you know, that's the thing about I have so much admiration for President Obama. I mean, the man is fearless, you know. You stop and think about this health care. How many presidents have tried that?
From Harry Truman forward.
Exactly. And who got it done? Barack Obama. And his next thing is immigration reform. You know, I mean, well, financial reform, but I'm telling you what, he's going after this immigration reform, and he's fearless when it comes to stuff like this. And, you know, you think of that, I mean, you know, what he pulled out with this health care thing, and not just him, Nancy Pelosi also. Nancy Pelosi, deserves a lot of credit, you know, as does Harry Reid, who, as you know, is not my favorite person. But, you know, what, you know, if you remember, after Scott Brown was elected, this was dead, buddy. It was done. Well, hell, it's died 1,000 deaths. But what do we have today? It passed. Healthcare legislation passed.
And that's what makes me think that other things can be accomplished.
Well, I'm telling you, this has emboldened Democrats, you know. And because the fact of the matter is, you don't need 60 votes. You need 51. That's what you need. And when it comes right down to it, you only need 50 plus Joe.
And you know what? If Harry Reid survives his election attempt, election contest against Sue Chicken Doc Loudon, God, I can't even mention that without laughing.
Right. Is that the one that's going to take a chicken to your doctor? Is that?
Yeah, that's her. That's her.
All right. Well, somebody else is on there today. Vegetables. Vegetables will work too.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
God.
But anyway,
it's hard to keep up with all these.
I know. By the way, you know, I mentioned that calculator that's out there. You had a bypass once upon a time, if I recall correctly.
I remember that.
Just in case you were wondering, because, you know, you got through it because you're a member of a union and you didn't have crippling health care debt.
No.
You got through it, but in the Loudon plan, your bypass, Wayne, would cost you 4,482 chickens at least.
Okay.
With a margin of error of plus or minus 20% chickens. So that's okay. Plus or minus 88 chickens.
Do they have to be, you know, dressed and...
See, that's the thing. You know, we're still... Right, we're still waiting on Sue Loudon to come out with some of that.
Okay.
We don't know if we're taking them at the... at the coop or at the grocer's meat case retail.
Right. Okay.
So it gets a little confusing.
Well, she's going to have to clear that up. I mean, that's a very important point.
You know, America wants to know.
Yes.
If Harry Reid gets past, and bear in mind, take a chicken to the doctor is leading Harry Reid by about 10 points right now.
Right.
Which is just enough to make me and run rabbits. If he gets past her and he's reelected and he's got less of a majority than he did this time through, then I think the first thing he's got to do on the convening of the new Congress and the new Senate is take those guys fairly seriously who are out there arguing that we need a little rule change. Need a little actual majority rule in the Senate.
Yes. Yes. Got to happen.
I think Tom Harkin was one of the ones who was putting forward that notion of majority rule.
Of majority rule, yeah. Isn't that a unique idea? My God, I don't know how to.
And you know, I love the little discussions we get going here. Our pal Kim in New York City just sent an email saying, no. Kim says, I respect Wayne and all, but to call Barack Obama fearless is ridiculous. He's nowhere near fearless. Sorry, I just had to get that out.
Well, I'll have to concede that point. you know, I get a little excited. He's out, and who is this, Kim?
Yeah, this is Kim.
Okay, like I say, I'll concede that, but if my greatest thing is consider the alternative. You know, that's all I could say.
I know.
I think you could call him fearless against John McCain. If you put him up against John McCain, I think we could call, you know, this is Mr. I never considered myself a maverick.
Yep, right.
That guy, you know.
Mr. Get off my lawn.
Right. So, no, I concede that point. But I do back our president, and I like him. You know, I'll go that far.
And so. you just want the best for him. You want great good. You want the man to go down in history as a great president, because it's not enough to say he was our first black president. You want him to do things that. You want him to do things that get him.
I want him to come out of the 8 years with the greatest, or certainly one of the greatest.
Yeah, with an immediate call. Yeah, with an immediate call for space to be cleared on Mount Rushmore.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And I think he has that potential. I really do.
But he's got to become convinced of it in his own right, Wayne.
I think you're right. But I think, you know, like I say, these things are emboldening him, and the Democrats also, you know, with, well, you know, look what he's done on this, on the atomic weapons issue, and, you know, the summit with, I mean, how many world leaders were here? 47?
Right.
Sending their enriched uranium to us so we could take care of it. Our standing in the world is greatly improved. And I think that's very important.
And the world itself has said that.
Yes, they have. And, you know, that translates to it's a safer world. You know, maybe not safe, but safer. I honestly and truly believe that. You know, we have more people that are willing to be on our side, as opposed to the guy we had in there before that, you know, you're for us or against us, and, you know.
Right, and admittedly.
Blow you up, too.
Yeah, and admittedly, Barack Obama is president in a very scary world where, I don't know, maybe you don't do it Harry Truman style. Maybe you move a little softly. Maybe you really do walk softly and carry a big stick. Because, you know, he's being president of the United States in a world that has Iranian clerics in it that think earthquakes are caused by women with beautiful bodies.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't know
they
thought that.
Yeah, that's has Islami, Kazem Sagidi. Yeah, and in fact, there is a Facebook movement, I think, called Boobquakes. Where women are being called upon to dress provocatively so as to prove that it doesn't cause earthquakes. There's a lot of crazy people out there, Wayne.
Yes, there are.
I mean, they're not just limited to the United States. It's not just Pat Robertson. You know, it's not just John Boehner and Mitch McConnell. It's not the right wing does not have the market cornered on it. There's loopy and mean out there all over the place.
Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, this brings up the volcano thing, brings up Stephen Colbert's. Did you ever watch that thing where, and I forget the woman's name, scientist, you know, about mountaintop removal and how it has to be stopped? And
oh, yeah, Margaret Palmer.
Okay. Did you see that Colbert thing?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. I mean, that was. Yeah, and, you know, his rationale is, we have to blow up these mountains. They're out to get us. Do I have to remind you of Mount St. Helens? You know,
I know,
and, you know, I guess they could use the, the Iceland volcano is just proving his point. They're out to get us, them mountains.
Get them before they get you.
Yes, exactly. So. Well, that was a pretty powerful thing, you know. It did, you know, it kind of, it should make everybody realize how, how damn insignificant we are, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
You know, here, stop that.
And the amount of stuff that thing put up into the atmosphere probably doesn't even begin to compare with what we as humans have put into the atmosphere over the last, you know, 100 years or so. But there's no such thing as anthropogenic global warming. No. That's crazy talk.
And did you know, I know I'm taking up too much time here. You know, did you read about Limbaugh insisting that that was a union mine?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, he used a Ken Ward story, you know, Ken Ward down at Coal Tattoo in the Gazette. He used a Ken Ward story to back that up, and I let Ken know via email. I just got back, oh, no.
Yeah. My God. And people listen to him every day. Yeah.
Well, and he went on. You know, there's so much insanity, and only 3 hours a night to cover it. The fact of the matter is, Limbaugh blamed the Icelandic volcano on health care.
Oh, wow. Wow, I really didn't.
That, man, right. Wayne, that oh wow makes it sound like you just saw a wall melt.
I mean, that's pretty incredible. How does that relate? Gods are so pissed off.
No, he said that Barack Obama came out and said we signed health care reform into law, and the sun came up and the sun went down and nothing changed. And Limbaugh said, well, my friends, I'm not sure that's so. I couldn't help noticing that the volcano has erupted in Iceland. I think that way may be God's way of telling us that health care is not the way to go.
Oh, okay. I'm sure he's absolutely right on that one.
You know, you couldn't pay me to take whatever it is that makes him say things like that. I think, you know, he wasn't paying attention at Woodstock and he took the brown acid or something. And it's just one
lot of it.
It's one long $40 million a year flashback for him.
There you go. My God. No, I hadn't heard that one. Oh, Jesus. Oh, well, it's an amazing world we live in. And we'll just have to keep watching and see how things turn out here. We got to keep fighting too.
Well, and you do that, Wayne, and I and the whole Horn audience respect it, and we really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate this and all the people that, you know, are part of this. It's a wonderful thing.
And they've been keeping you busy with the mailbox, haven't they?
Yes, donations are up. Yeah, donations are up. They need to be up more, if I may say so, but. You know,
yeah, we're about $800 out from the monthly goal.
Yes.
And it would not hurt. You know, I'm just looking forward to the month where I get to shut up completely and not say a blessed word about contributions after the first week or so.
I have to remind everybody, what did we go, the first 3 years?
At least two.
Okay. Without asking for any. And, well, then it just got to a point where it couldn't be sustained without other people's help. We need help constantly because we're constantly have to replace things and get new things. And the only way we're going to get bigger and reach more people is to have more donations.
Yeah.
And all that, I'll remind them again, it's nobody gets paid. That's just to keep us on the air and keep computers replaced and in repair and so on and so forth.
Yeah, and, you know, get us to places where we can be seen doing things that it's important we be seen doing.
Exactly.
You know, this idea of going forward, well, just an example, Wayne. I was having an email exchange with our dear friend Dr. Bill the other day. And we were talking about the fact that, coming up this summer, part of his history teaching grant will be beginning and going forward. And he wants to make sure that the stuff that he's putting out there is available to folks.
Right.
And it's another chance for us to take another step toward creating, literally out of thin air. An infrastructure of liberal broadcasting that's not necessarily, you know, me sitting here doing the show, but it's actual content of real substance. In this case, the real history, not the imagined history, but the real history of how this country came into being. And you can't, and to be able to be a part of that, oh my God.
Exactly.
And then and to have that information available out there so that people can have it at their fingertips and say, no, listen. You know, for instance, when some goony right winger says, well, this is a Christian nation founded upon Christian principles.
Yeah, because the founding fathers said so.
Right. To be able to quote chapter and verse and say, no, they didn't. You're lying.
Here's what they said.
Yeah. You know, things like John Adams signing the Treaty of Tripoli that says the United States is in no wise founded upon the Christian religion.
Right.
You know, that's a real pain in the tuchus for your average wingnut.
Exactly.
Because they want him to be a Southern Baptist, you know, counseled by Billy Graham.
Right.
But it ain't that way.
Been a member of the family, whatever association.
Yeah, C Street. Yeah, yeah. John Adams. He stayed on C Street while the White House was being built. Sure.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, you know how it works.
Okay, but aren't I correct? In order for that to happen with Dr. Bill, we probably need $4,000 or $5,000 more worth of equipment.
Well, yeah, there is that.
Yes. Okay. Okie dokie.
And well, frankly, we've got to because my goal in going to Netroots Nation, for instance, is to, as long as they provide viable internet connections for us, to be able to video cast from every room that we're in. That's a camera per room, and we've already got folks lined up willing to go and shoot and babysit a board. And
how many rooms do we have?
Well, that we don't know. You know, right now we've got enough to do a couple of rooms.
Okay.
You know, another.
We know we're going to have more than two rooms.
Oh yeah, I'd like to do no less than five. We were doing two and sometimes three rooms last summer at Netroots Nation, but it was audio only. If we've got a solid internet connection, we can go and do, and you know, the equipment and stuff, we can do five rooms.
Well, I will end then with saying keep them cards and letters coming, and please include a check.
Indeed, indeed. Thank you, Wayne, and have a wonderful weekend.
Same to you,
brother. If you're bored tomorrow, come by Earth Day.
Okay, I don't see how I'm going to be bored, but...
Well, you seldom are.
Where are you at? In Fayette, where?
Yeah, right downtown Fayetteville.
Okay. If I got to go pick up a car in Charleston with some advanced team member and got to take Josh to work, I don't know. But one never knows.
Yeah, I know how that goes.
You know.
It's a busy life.
It is.
All right, Wayne, have a great evening, and thanks for calling in. Wonderful conversation.
Okay, man. Good to talk to you.
Good talking to you, too.
Okay,
bye now.
Bye.
And that is the boss man himself. That's Wayne. And he takes care of, among other things, you know, you don't hear from Wayne a whole lot because he is a very busy man. But he takes care of keeping all the lights on, the bills paid and everything that with, you know, what you send in. And, by the way, the snail mail address. See, the mailbox is over in Beckley. The snail mail address is 1038 North Eisenhower Drive. Eisenhower, you know, like the president, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, P as in Paul, M as in Mary, B as in boy, PMB, which stands for personal mailbox, 318 Beckley, Beckley, West Virginia, 25801. The PayPal button is right there at headonradionetwork.com, too, right there on the same tab with the snail mail address under contribute. Learn it, know it, use it. It's the only thing that keeps this going on out there. Michael, also known as Kid A, from the chat room writing in, he says, Bob, with all due respect, I understand the concept of bartering in the Loudon plan, but for some of us it's just not practical to bring chickens, dead or alive, or even for that matter live cattle, to the doctor, dentist, etc. Is there some way we could integrate the livestock futures market into the health insurance industry? Oh, God, Michael, don't help. Don't help. Quit helping. I could have a little ID card with a magnetic strip and just transfer a certain portion of my poultry futures as an example in exchange for, let's say, a wisdom tooth extraction. This would be much more practical. And portable, even. Oh, and, you know, that was one of the things the Republicans were talking about. We want portability in health care. But then you'd have to sit there every day, and it'd be like Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy in Trading Places, and you'd have to watch the pork bellies and the orange juice futures. And dude, who wants to do that? I just want to get well. Coming to coming to a Republican plan near you. Oh, and by the way, this also coming from Michael. He said, oh, damn, this made me laugh. You got to see it. Michael also wondered if Matt Osborne was already on it. But, yeah, there it is. Doctor refuses KFC double down sandwich as payment for treatment. Dateline Louisville. You got to, is this true? Come on. Please. I don't know. This looks kind of oniony. Billy Bob Wolfram was pleased that Dr. McBride had removed the tick from the bottom of his foot that had given him so much trouble. Wolfram was much less pleased when Dr. McBride refused the KFC double down sandwich for treatment. I mean, it has no bread, said Wolfram. All chicken and bacon, even. The bartering of chicken or other products for healthcare philosophy was proposed recently by Republican Sue Loudon. For his part, Dr. McBride had little comment. It's a crappy chicken sandwich. I mean, come on now. What? Okay, this is imitation onion. When reached for comment, Loudon said her bartering plan still had kinks to work out. Jesus. On the other hand, on the no, really, this is true end of things, I got a link earlier over to, from over at TPM. From TPM reader LM, who holds this out not as satire, but as true. I just went to my doctor's office for a sinus ear infection. I'd never seen this particular physician before and certainly didn't bring up politics with him, but as I was about to pay my bill, he volunteered we take cash, check, credit card, or debit card. No chickens. Now, I'm in Indiana, mind you. I think Sue Loudon is in real trouble if even random doctors in Indiana are mocking her to near total strangers. Oh, no. The story, Michael, the story was oniony, not the sandwich. I haven't tried it either, and I won't. You couldn't pay me. You can't make me try the KFC double down. More like double bypass, you know? So we'll take a little break here, a little past the halfway mark of the program. And, you know, don't hide your light under a bushel. You know the number here, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel, 304-658-3333. Either way reaches the show just fine. This is Friday on the front porch, so, you know, it's our last chance to cuss and discuss before Monday. Email rolls in, by the way, to Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, at gmail.com. And an alternative cover of a song that I vaguely referenced earlier, Can't Resist. Have a little Steve Earle, everybody.
I've been warped by the rain, driven by the snow, drunk and dirty, don't you know that I'm still willing. Alice. I've been from Tucson to Concari to Hatchapee to Tonopah. I've driven every kind of rig that's ever been made. I've driven the back road so I wouldn't get wet. If you give me weed, why? Show me a sign, then I'll be willing to be moving. My head's stove in, but I'm still on my feet. I'm
still willing. Now, smugglers and smokes and folks up from Mexico, baked by the sun every time I go to Mexico.
Preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
This is a public service announcement.
There's a new type of music program coming to the Horn.
Got a letter from the government the other day. Opened it and read it. It said they were suckers.
They wanted me about a summer or whatever. Picture me buying the scam. I said never.
But I won't heed the battle call.
Music for liberals. Music for activists. Music with a social conscience.
Down K
the People's Mixtape.
Johnny's dead and Mitch is gone and Kelly have to lose that on the list of dead goes on and on.
Coming soon to the Head On Radio Network.
Cut your flag, the gal won't get you into heaven anymore.
Now, why in God's name did he play this?
On the first part of the journey, I was looking at all the life. There were plants and birds and rocks and things. There was sand and hills and rain.
You know, I don't just do things.
The first thing I met was a fly with a buzz and the sky with no clouds. The heat was hot and the ground.
Myself for this.
After 9 days, I let the horse run free, cause the desert had turned to sea. There were plants and birds.
I'm already ashamed. Writing itself. I just had a fling with a horse with no name. Now you. I'm so ashamed. I hate the places that these stories take my tiny mind. Via Jennifer Sullivan of the Seattle Times, and sent along by our good friend Cindy in the Great Northwest. You remember the story back earlier in the week about the Supreme Court of the United States striking down an animal cruelty law in the name of the First Amendment. You remember that? Sure you do. Well, via Jennifer Sullivan and our good friend Cindy in the Great Northwest and the Seattle Times itself, we traveled to Whatcom County, Washington. Sounds like a website startup, Whatcom. No, Whatcom County, Watt, Whatcom, Whatcom County. I'm probably mispronouncing it. It looks obvious as hell, but there's probably some local Washingtonian pronunciation for it that's, I don't know, pronounced Poughkeepsie. A Whatcom County man's friendship and aggressive support. Aggressive support. What a phrase. For a man convicted in the infamous... Now, see, there's another... Now, yeah, another word. Enumclaw. Enumclaw. E-N-U-M-C-C-L-A-W. Come on, guys. Give me a pronouncer here. Not everybody doesn't live in Washington. A Whatcom County man's friendship and aggressive support for a man convicted in the infamous Enumclaw horse sex case. I just had a fling with a horse with no name. No. See what happens to me? Led to his arrest this week for allegedly operating a bestiality farm just south of the Canadian border, federal prosecutors said last week. We're talking here about Douglas Spink, age 39, a one-time dot-com millionaire, a convicted drug smuggler, and a horse trainer, who had a little rural farm in Whatcom County, south of Sumas, who knows, dadgummit, when he hooked up with James Tate, who was in a Tennessee jail on a bestiality charge. You'll recall the infamous story had to do with the fact that at the time, Washington had no law against having sex with animals. But, of course, West Virginia takes all the hell. Yeah. So Tate had been earlier convicted of trespassing in 2005 in the Enumclaw case, in which a Gig Harbor man died after having sex with a horse. I hate myself for even doing this story. The two men's communications set in motion an investigation that resulted in Spink's arrest Wednesday before last at the Sumas Farm, I don't know, for suspicion of violating his federal probation for drug smuggling. Okay. Okay, strap in. Federal prosecutors and Whatcom County Sheriff's officials say Spink also allowed people to come to the farm and have sex with animals. You only think that's the worst part. Whatcom County Sheriff Bill Elfo said last week he was, quote, promoting tourism of this nature for bestiality. You know, bestiality means never having to say you're sorry. When county deputies and federal investigators searched the property, they found, aha, remember, what was the lead line for the Supreme Court story earlier in the week? That thing they teach you on the first day of the first week of the first semester of the first year of law school. Hard cases make bad law. When county deputies and federal investigators searched the property, they found videotapes that included images of a man who was visiting the property having sex with several large breed dogs. The man, a 51-year-old British national, was arrested for investigation of four counts of bestiality because Washington did get around to passing such a law. He's being held in the Whatcom County Jail in lieu of a $150,000 bond. A week ago last Wednesday, authorities took several animals. Like I said, this is where it gets bad. A week ago last Wednesday, authorities took several animals, including horses and large breed dogs found on Spink's property, into protective custody. Here's where it gets bad. I don't want to know. I don't want to speculate. I don't want email informing me that you know what was going on or that you understand that particular kink or anything along these lines after I read this next sentence. Authorities took several animals, including horses and large breed dogs found on Spink's property, into protective custody. Several mice were euthanized. Several mice were euthanized. The sheriff added, at this point, we don't know how many people visited this location or how many engaged in illegal conduct. We'll see as the federal investigation unfolds. Sphinx remains in jail pending an April 30th detention hearing. There's another old saying among lawyers, when you have the facts, pound on the facts. When you have the law, pound on the law. When you have neither the law nor the facts, pound on the table. Spinks's attorney is a man named Howard Phillips, and the best that he could muster after the hearing was to say, these are just allegations. My client said he has not been engaging in bestiality at all. Several mice were euthanized, and there were videotapes of sex being had with dogs. Thank you, Chief Justice Roberts. Thank you, Justice Scalia. Thank you, Justice Thomas. Thank you, Justice Kennedy. Thank you, Justice Ginsburg. Thank you, Justice Breyer. Thank you, Justice, who the hell am I leaving out here, everybody but Samuel Alito, which makes me feel really creepy in and of itself. Thank you. Because thanks to your ruling, it's probably legal to sell the videotapes of the guy having sex with several dogs. I can only pray there are no videotapes uncovered involving those euthanized mice. Now, all this was going on right under the sheriff of Whatcom County's nose. They only found out about it because of phone calls between Tate and Spink, in which the two men talked about their similar views on animals and bestiality. Spink, the article from the Seattle Times says, was so concerned about Tate's arrest in Tennessee for bestiality that Spink called his friend's lawyers and even pretended to be an attorney himself, said Assistant U.S. Attorney Susan Rowe. The phone calls from Spink came to the attention of police in Murray County, Tennessee, who eventually learned that Spink was not a lawyer but was on federal probation on the drug smuggling conviction. Murray County Detective Terry Chandler contacted U.S. probation in Seattle. Authorities said Tennessee authorities turned over recorded jail phone calls between Spink and Tate to authorities building a case there in Washington. Spink is a former Portland businessman who prospered as a mergers and acquisition entrepreneur. You know the problem with the French language? It doesn't have a word for entrepreneur. Spink is a former Portland businessman who prospered as a mergers and acquisitions entrepreneur during the height of the technology boom, but went bankrupt in 2002, according to the Oregonian. He has long trained horses, competed in jumping, and raised dogs, his lawyer said on Friday. Back in 2005, he was arrested in Monroe, after authorities found 371 pounds of cocaine in his car. Got probation. Under the Bush administration. Got probation. 371 pounds of cocaine, 371 pounds of powder. Meanwhile, somewhere off in, I don't know, East L.A. or, the hood of any given American city, there's some poor dude with brown skin who got caught with a rock in his pocket who's doing 10 years hard time. 371 pounds, well, a very well-connected former, you do know I'm a former dot-com billionaire, right? Yes. I jump horses and I train horses, and I have many large dogs. I'm no menace to society, and I'm no flight risk. I'm not leaving my horses, Wilbur. I hate this crap. What do you... I got Whatcom County right, and it's Enumclaw, I'm now told, by a couple of different sources. Enumclaw. And Whatcom. The H is silent. Videotapes. And it is uncertain as to whether or not those are marketable. No, I'm not going to queue up. I'm not going to queue up John Lennon singing Whatever Gets You Through the Night. It's all right, all right. Because that ain't all... Mice! Mice! Whew! Well, I got an hour of show yet to do. And I'm not feeling... I got an hour of show left to do. And I feel like I need a shower. Or did I just say I've got an hour of shower left to do and I feel I need a show? Brr. I'm going to take a break. And we're going to reset. Yeah, we're going to do a show reset is what we're going to do. And you're going to jump in on the phones, hopefully, and we'll have a nice hour's worth of conversation here, and we'll close the program down for the week, and we'll start up again on Monday. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn. I'm Bob. Mice. Mice. Sick bastards. Mice. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. On your nickel, 304-658-3333. We'll be back.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All righty then. For some reason or another, I had a little trouble making phone calls stay connected, so I had to do it by hand. So I actually know who the next two callers are. 12 minutes and change past the hour. We are fast approaching the end of the program this evening. We've got about 45 minutes of solid conversation left. If you want to jump on jump in line here, that's cool by me. And well, let's go to Grant calling from Oregon. You there, Grant?
Greetings. Yes, I'm here.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. I wanted to bring up a matter that actually you brought to my attention a couple days ago.
Ah, the Geico thing?
The Geico thing, indeed. I made quite a stink after you brought that to my attention. Called, you know, radio stations that I listen to, and it looks like you got a little airtime on Tom Hartman this morning.
Excellent.
Yeah, I thought so, too. What I was saying on KRXA the other night was something I'll repeat. I think this is a really good opportunity for us, you know, as soon as somebody gets, you know, a peck in their back or fired or something or otherwise persecuted, I think it's a really good opportunity for the rest of us to get their head up a little bit and stand up for somebody, particularly against, you know, the likes of FreedomWorks, the Koch brothers and those guys.
Well, yeah, and the story that was braying proudly about all of this originated at that godforsaken pig Andrew Breitbart site.
Okay. Good. Hopefully, somehow they're going to hoist themselves on their own petard by their much braying. You know, one can only hope.
It is one can, and I did double check, and I'm trying to remember the guy's name. Let me see if I can find it. Just looking real quick. Pardon the clacking.
The guy who made the article.
No. I'm trying to find. There it is. Yeah, the annual awards gala of the Campaign for America's Future this year will honor Peter Lewis, who is chairman of the board of Progressive Insurance Company. Now, I'm not offering that as any sort of an endorsement, but if anybody wants to leave Geico over this, certainly better to go to Progressive, I would think, than to Snake Farm or All Snake or any of those other, you know, the insurance monstrosities.
Well, that, I think not only leaving, but I think leaving a message on the way out. I mean, I actually left a message with them saying, look, you know, this is a civil rights issue, and I frankly don't want to do business with somebody who is not going to stick up for the civil rights of their own employee. You know, I mean, this is a clear-cut case of somebody didn't like the political speech of somebody else and went after their job. Now, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, they used to base slap suits on this kind of thing, right?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
I mean, companies used to do that to us, to, you know, the little guys, to us. I mean, why can't he turn around and just absolutely put a guy on margin and go for it? You know?
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. Because I would, if somebody got me fired, some chowderhead from the right wing, you know, got me fired, I'd have their ass before the law if it was all possible. I'm sorry. You know, it's like, no way, man.
Well, I guess the guy was interviewed on some liberal show a day or so after. I'd love to know what his rationale was in just calling their FreedomWorks voicemail.
I think it was the heat of passion with him.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, because sometimes it's the heat of 80 proof.
Right. There might have been a little bit of that in the mix as well, but nothing was ever really admitted. But he definitely said, you know, hey, no, this is at the height of outrage kind of thing that he called that in. And I was absolutely proud of him. I was just double thumbs. He got a two thumbs up, you know, right at the computer speakers for when I heard that clip. I thought that was absolutely brilliant. When they murder someone, do you already have a spin talking point memo? Perfect.
Because you know, Grant, that they do. They already do. Because it's already happened. And that's why Beck, who, by the way, Beck will be delivering the commencement address at Jerry Falwell University next month.
the Christofascist Madrasa.
Yeah, there you go. That's the one. They've already got, because Beck and O'Reilly, every time one of these every one of these incredibly sane, angry right-wing thugs goes out and kills one of ours, Beck and O'Reilly and Hannity and that crowd can't get on the air fast enough saying, we had nothing to do with it.
Right. Wow, so, you know, no matter how much they scrub, they just can't get the blood off their hands.
Yeah. And, you know, hence the audio of that freak that I played at the beginning of the program. At the teabagging rally in D.C. on April 15th, you know, screaming about sending veterans to charity hospitals. You know, there's no dialogue, there's no discussion with these cretins.
Mm-hmm. I know, and I've had conversations on other radio programs. You know, I had to tell you, I was just absolutely slapping the table when Sandra was on the other day. Because she evidently ran into a crowd of brie eaters that were saying, you know, oh, are they racist? Let us ponder. What do the soap bubble trails say? You know, it's so sad and this kind of stuff. And it's like, man, it's time to drag out the lead pipes and defend yourself. Put the tambourine away. That's for people who actually can be shamed, you know. We're way beyond this.
Yeah, because they are unshameable. You know, that's the reason I plead guilty a long time back for Christmas it was. I bought my son, at the recommendation of, the sage of Southwest Wisconsin, Albert. At his recommendation, I picked up a copy of the video game Left 4 Dead.
Okay.
And it's nothing but a zombie slaughtering fest.
Yeah, it's id candy, as I said, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, the last few nights, for some reason or another, I found myself, you know, turning on Malloy in one speaker, having the chat going on a different machine, but taking this machine with its decent little video card and just slaughtering zombies to my heart's content. it's satisfying because I can
Half-Life 2 is like that for me. You know, when I was, you know, sort of square in the Republican regime, you know, something about killing these thugs that had a beating quota every day just somehow was gratifying.
Well, and the thing is, Grant, the zombies in Left 4 Dead, it's kind of interesting. They never act alone. They only act in groups, in mobs. And you can't look at the zombies in Left 4 Dead and not think, huh, teabaggers. You know, because they vomit toxic goo, and they get on your back, and they ride you. And they do Republican teabagging stuff.
Well, the thing I really want to come up with, I guess, you know, just sort of as an overall strategy within the progressive and left, we need to have how do you pick the locks of a moony mind? Okay, it's basically, you know, how do you deprogram cultists? Because that's really what we're dealing with here. And I bring to evidence, you know, look at the parallels at Germany in the 1930s, and then what they said afterward. It is as if we had awakened from a dream in which we were enspelled, you know, something along those lines.
Yes.
They were under the spell of like a cultist fervor, a very low brain sort of aspect of people, but it's powerful, you know. You're sorry to invoke a Jedi mind trick.
Yeah, well, no, it's that, no, look, that lizard brain. Us against them, hate and fear portion of the brain is the most easily accessed portion of the entire human psyche. It just is.
And it looks like the least defended, matter of fact.
If you've been raised up in such a way, for that to be accessible, you know, all the right wing has done is what? Put seeds in a fertile field? Because the John Birchers have been around forever. The Klan has been around forever. The militia movements and the white supremacy crowd and all of that have been around forever. And all they did is wrap it all in a flag and prepackage it and market it as angry Americans. You know, I got a story here, Grant, I got a story here that'll probably make you scream. But it's a case with a happy ending. There was a guy, and this picture's been going around the internet considerably. It's a guy with a Virginia license plate. He's got a Confederate battle flag in his rear window. You know, one of those that you can see through,
yeah.
I guess. and the rear tailgate of his Ford pickup truck is a picture of the ball of flames coming from the World Trade Centers before they fell. And the wording on the photograph that's on the, and it's a full size, it covers the entirety of the tailgate of the pickup truck, is, "Everything I need to know about Islam I learned on 9/11.
Yep, sir.
And then, and so, you know, the response on the internet in the so-called liberal blogosphere or whatever has been, you know, "Oh, that's just sickening, you know, what a bigot this guy is, what a freak, you know." But
let's wring our hands.
But bless their hearts, the Council on American Islamic Relations took a look at his license plate.
Uh-huh.
His license plate is 14CV88. And it is the Virginia Commemorative Confederate. You can get one of these in Virginia. Who knew? The Commemorative Confederates, Sons of Confederate Veterans. You know, you'd think they'd be like 112 by now. Sons of Confederate Veterans, the special license plate that you pay $10 extra for and you can get one. It's embossed with a Confederate flag, no less. But the Council on the Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, notice those letters, 14CV88. CV stands for Confederate Veteran. And within white supremacist code speak, 88, 8 is the, 8 stands for H, the eighth letter in the alphabet.
Okay.
88 stands for HH, which is, of course, Heil Hitler.
Oh.
14 is also white supremacist code for a quote that they adore from a creep named David Lane, who created a 14-word motto, hence the number 14. "We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children," which is 14 words. And lo and behold, they turned this in to the Virginia DMV. The Virginia DMV looked at all the data and rescinded the son of a bitch self-made's license plate over it. So while he's driving around in a truck with "Everything I Need to Know About Islam I Learned on 9/11, he no longer has his little white supremacist message on his license plate sponsored by the Commonwealth of Virginia. So, you know, kind of good and bad and the same. But the thing is, they're everywhere. And the only thing the teabagging movement did, as I said, Grant, is put a nice little wrapper with an American flag on it around them. And they're doing it to try to co-opt them into coming and voting in the Republican Party, because the thing they recognized after the last election is that the Republican Party really is on the verge of becoming 21st century Whigs.
And deservedly so. Nobody can blow it that badly with so much enthusiasm and somehow not pay a political price. I mean, my God. You know, I've been paying attention for the last 10 years or so. Pretty close attention, because I've always been real nervous about where this country's been going for at least a decade. You add it all up. All the things that most of these people are too damn ignorant or brainwashed to know about. And there is no way in hell you can pull that shit and actually expect to have a country, much of a country left, with the way these guys ran things. I don't think I'm being dramatic about that.
No, I don't think you are either.
I mean, we're looking at, we're only lucky we've got somebody like Barack Obama in there. Because, I mean, under McCain, you know, we'd be looking at kiss-my-ass stands all over the place that used to be part of America. And sure as shit looks like these guys are our gun for that situation. They'd love to set up a little regional fiefdom for themselves and their precious bodily fluid. Okay? That's what I think.
And the thing is, McCain would have no ability whatsoever to gainsay them with their secessionist desires.
He wouldn't even try. That dude hasn't got the spine. He's got a past they're going to hold over him. No way. He would, and then, you know, Mussolini would pop right in there with her notions of constitutional wiggle room.
Well, and remember, you know, her husband, Caribou Barbie's husband, was an active card-carrying member of the Alaska Independence Party, a secessionist movement.
Right. So it's pretty easy to see what it is here. It's like, let's carve this pig up, and this is where I think they're going. I think it's the most short-sighted goddamn strategy I've ever heard of. What the hell do they think they're going to do against anybody who might be a foreign threat? At a divided and weakened America. How the hell are they going to stand up to anybody? Talk about short-sighted.
Well, you know, look, we've got, for God's sakes, we've got the Posse Comitatus Act that was created after Southern Reconstruction in the Civil War that prevents the United States military from being used to enforce law within the boundaries of, you know, the continental boundaries of the country. And yet, the way these right-wingers read law, you know, well, okay, Posse Comitatus, that means we can't use the military. That means we're going to have to set up our own armies. And you got this old freak, Bill Davis, out in Arizona, recruiting veterans with combat kill records to go and hang out on the border and play carnival shooting gallery with any Mexicans they might see.
Well, no kidding. I mean, there's a couple things in what you just said. First off, these idiots... don't seem to appreciate the fact that we have something already in place for that. Instead of militias, we now have the National Guard, and fully subsidized, by the way. That's the first thing they're not quite dealing with. Second thing is, excuse me, who is this guy? I heard about this. He's authorizing people? Who is this guy? What state authority exactly does he hold?
That would be none.
It sounds to me an awful lot like white gangs against Mexican gangs. That's all it sounds like to me. It's like a gang war. It doesn't sound like anything else than that.
Yeah, and it's not like the U.S.-Mexican border is a calm and peaceful place in the first... By all means, let's shoot some drug runners. Let's have some disgruntled whiteys shoot some drug runners and expand what's going on the Mexican border up into Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas, because that's going to be real nice.
Oh, tell me about it. I mean, I know a guy who grew up in Tucson. He says, growing up there... pulling bodies out of the you know, the yard next door all the time during certain sections of certain decades when it got real, real bad. It was already going on.
And the only thing
in Arizona, Bob, I tell you what, if you have any misgivings, just don't go.
Well, the only thing I figured out, I was looking at the map some, and the only thing I figured out is that I can take 70 across all the way to Denver and then across into Salt Lake City or, you know, into Utah and then go down to Vegas that way and do everything but just a little teeny tiny corner of Arizona.
Yeah, you could do that.
But I hate, I hate missing New Mexico.
That's true. It is beautiful. It's got its own beauty, its own thing. Well, I'll tell you,
But I've never seen any of it, so it's all going to be new to me.
Oh, yeah, I think you'll really like it.
But the idea of, I have seen I-70 across Kansas, and that just makes my eyes water thinking about it. You know, Agnes will be sitting in the passenger seat just pinching me for, you know, however many hours it takes to get across. Wake up, Bob!
Well, the thing is, if that's going to be a factor, then what you're probably going to have to do is kind of survey the map a little bit, see what kind of sites you can meander through that might help out with that. But if you have extra gas money and some time, yeah, I would really love it if you could make it up to Oregon, because we've got some great stuff up here.
Oh, I'd love to, but knowing what our schedule's going to be like, it's going to be 3 days out, 3 days back, and 4 days there.
Ouch. Ouch.
Yeah.
Tight.
It's okay. Going to be everything we can do just to get there and back again.
Okay.
And at this point in time, considering the moving my little tribe anywhere is like moving the children of Israel across Sinai anyway. It's going to take a panel van to begin with. We're going to look like the CIA traveling west across America. You know, just a nondescript white rental. So, but no, I appreciate the kind invite. And one of these days I'm going to get out that way. Just don't know when. Grant, it's awfully good talking to you, and have yourself a wonderful weekend.
You too. Take care, Bob.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Grant, calling from Oregon. And I've got an Oregon story about some fungus out there that I read and just scared the life out of me. Hey, Sandra, is that you?
Yeah, hey. Listen, I haven't really been listening to these shows. I'm sitting here in this office doing grades. It's
Oh, that sounds delightful for a Friday evening.
Oh, you know, shoot, I got to use my time when I can. So, anyway, I just realized that I could listen to you on the internet, you know, so I just am catching the last bit. But so I don't know what the story was. I caught you and you said you had to cleanse your palate of the show. What you been talking about?
Oh, the sick bastard that was running a bestiality, the bestiality tourism farm in Whatcom County, Washington.
Oh, is this...
Yeah, and the fact that they took several horses and large breeds of dogs into protective custody, but had to euthanize several mice.
I'm sorry, what?
Yes, I know.
Oh, you know what?
And then nasty me led into the story with America singing horse with no name.
Oh, no. You know what? I got to say it. Sometimes men are just nasty, okay? I'll say it. That's disgusting.
Hallelujah. You know, I'm right there. On behalf of my gender, I'll admit it. There are among us who... Well, remember that Republican out there from Georgia a few years back who was on the radio with Alan Colmes and admitted growing up doing the mules on his farm?
Well, yeah, and talking as if any farmer...
Well, didn't... Right, didn't you?
And it's just like, dude, you need to... Yuck. I'm not interested in these people, you know, getting off on whatever holes are around. And I'm sorry to be crude, but that's basically what's going on, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Oh, God. Well, no, but the poor animals. What's up? What is wrong?
But you know, it wasn't offered purely gratuitously. It was the fact that there were videotapes of a British man getting it on with several dogs.
Oh, no, you see? No, where did that...
And that is apparently now protected speech in the United States, thanks to the Supreme Court.
What?
Yeah.
As of
Monday.
No, but the Supreme Court is, you know, just this ill democratic body. I'm so over it, you know?
And that's the thing. It was an 8-1 decision that struck down the statute that made illegal so-called crush videos that showed women stomping small animals for the sexual gratification of men. And talking bondage speak to a mouse or something. And the Supreme Court ruled that that is protected speech.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. That has, you know,
because
yeah, I don't even know.
The thing is, Sandra, they took it up under the guise of a case that had to do with a man who was prosecuted under that federal law for selling videotapes of dog fights. So the whole statute's gone.
Okay, so they'll protect that. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I remember hearing about the women stepping on small animals. I didn't catch that it was in the context of some sort of Supreme Court decision. When was this?
Monday. I think I talked about it on Tuesday.
Really? Oh, see, them people on that court, they're messed up.
Yeah, because I've got this, you know, I'm ashamed of myself for where it takes my brain, Sandra, but I've got this mental image of a, you know, some poor little mouse in a gimp costume. You know, like out of Pulp Fiction or something.
Oh, that's gross. Well, can I change the subject like this?
I wish to heck you would.
But it's not deviating too much further. What is up with Denver picking Tim Tebow? Ew.
You know what? I'm so proud of myself, Sandra. If you go back in the archives, you'll find I predicted that months ago.
Yeah, well, no. And I thought of you when that went down. I thought, you know what? Shit, what's Bob going to say? Because, you know, it's unbelievable. I can't stand that Josh McDaniels anyway. Really, now I really dislike him.
Well, you know, look, there was Jay Cutler, a perfectly competent quarterback out of Vandy, had a lot of talent, a lot of promise, but he liked to go out And, you know, he was just going out and partying and carrying on and stuff. He wasn't doing a Ben Rapist bugger thing or anything.
No, he was just some young guy with money going out. Yes, exactly.
And they got rid of his ass.
No, and in a nasty kind of display that all was, that's what I thought. I thought, who is this Belichick wannabe? You know what I'm saying? Yuck.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it was. Rumors are circulating now that Tebow was grabbed because Belichick wanted him.
Well, yeah, I had heard that. But the thing is that just listening to the radio, the way they just go on about this Tebow guy, it's like, come on, yo. What the, you know, oh, the character. That's why he was snatched. And, you know, on and on and on. It's just like, he is just an accident waiting to happen. I can't wait until, you know, the gayness happens or something crazy. You know it is.
Well, look, but he's there where he can be protected. He's there. What did Franklin Graham call it last night? Where God can put a hedge around him.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. Are you kidding me?
No, he wasn't talking about Tim Tebow, but he was...
No.
I created a false impression there, and for that I apologize.
Oh, okay.
But no, Franklin Graham was on Fox talking about God building a hedge around our troops fighting in Afghanistan.
Oh, right. So you just... No, but Colorado is, like, right there where all his peaks are, right?
Exactly. It's a great big closet for Timmy. You know... The New Harvest Church or whatever, wherever it was, the Crystal Methodist Cathedral that Ted Haggard was run out of, you know, that's right there in Colorado. The entire infrastructure, superstructure, megastructure of Focus on the Families there in Colorado Springs. And remember, and this, I even wrote, our buddy Marty sent me an article from a guy named, I think, Mike Freeman. Over at CBSSports.com, writing about this trade and saying, you know, that, what's his name, McDaniel's days are numbered with this pick.
Well, yeah, no, I'm like, you know, yes, that's a good one, because a lot of people are saying character, whatever. I mean, what does he have to offer that's worth, you know,
And that's why I sent that note to Freeman saying, listen, you know, you've written a lot here that's good and everything, but you're ignoring the elephant in the room. The guy, the reason the guy was drafted was because Denver wants to be a fundy organization like the Rockies, because the Rockies are all fundamentalists.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, that because I know about the Rockies, and that used to get on my last half a nerve. So Denver is like that? I mean, that's the mentality there?
Denver's not, but the religious community is huge. And see, you also have to bear in mind that, you know, when the whole Tim Tebow miracle baby ad on the Super Bowl thing was going down, all you had to do was make a quick run over to Focus on the Family, and you found out that there was a directly sponsored link to the Tebow family's little ministry hustle on the Focus on the Family website. You know, this is out of The Godfather. You know, it's Abe Vigoda saying, you know, it's only business.
Yeah, no, I mean, when I heard that with the draft, I was like, oh, no. You know, because I never was a big fan of Denver in the best of days, and now it's just something
else. Well, that's, you know, that's but that's Marty's team, and he's in sackcloth and ashes right now.
Oh, no. Listen, but what is he going to do? What are they going to make him a fullback? I mean, what is he going to play? Is he going to try to play quarterback?
I don't know. You know, this is like an episode out of Moral Oral for me, Sandra. You know, well, you know, you can see the daddy there with the high ball in his hand. Well, it doesn't look like the rapture's going to happen today. Let's go watch little Timmy Jesus sit on the bench.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's just, and then the whole thing about, well, you know, Jimmy Clausen didn't get picked because he has questionable character. I'm like, what is this? It's because of the whole Ben rapist. They're all freaking out about their precious NFL product.
Oh, yeah, the line that just laid me low was Jimmy Clausen's smirk has finally caught up with him.
Oh, see, what is the hating on that kid all about, though? That's what I'm talking about. It's like, okay, yeah, I don't really get it, but the NFL. I mean, it's such
winds up going to Carolina. You know what? That may work for him.
Oh, please. I mean, I don't know. I couldn't take it anymore. Every station I listened to was talking about that freak, Tim Tebow. And I'm like, hello? What about that dude who went first? What's his name? I don't even remember his name.
Oh, Sam Bradford?
He said he's a breakable.
Yeah, breakable
one,
Bradford. Right?
And what about the second one? He seemed all right.
Oh, and Dominican Sue is the class pick of the draft.
Yeah, he's going to get after it. I can't wait to watch him. Is he playing for, Detroit? Wow, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, see, that's the one thing. That's the kiss of death.
Too bad for homeboy. I hope he gets a big guaranteed money then.
Yeah, and, well, you know, you hope that he proves himself, and then in his free agent year, he gets to go play for a winner.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Because ain't nothing good going to happen in Detroit. I mean, I hate to say that with Lions fans out there, but it just is.
Well, no, the organization don't seem to be that well put together. Mind you, I'm still reeling from the Donovan McNabb in D.C. What in the world? Now he's trying to get... What's that freak that was with him before? The wide receiver?
Oh. No.
God. T.O.
Yeah.
You know, the rumors that he's trying to get T.O. there for a quick minute.
And
what's Philadelphia going to do? It's like, hello, you guys are. I don't know. I thought that was a really dumb move.
Well, yeah, Philly's dug themselves a little hole. Getting out of that ought to be interesting to watch.
Yeah, I don't, you know, what the hell? I mean, I understand that McNabb has a, you know, kind of a love-hate relationship with the fans there, but the fans are dumb. What are they going to get? This guy's taking them to so close.
But those are Philly fans. Philly fans have a love-hate relationship with every team in their town. I mean, you know, wasn't it Allen Iverson at the Sixers?
Practice?
Yeah.
It's just practice? Yeah.
And it goes back to the battery throwing at the vet and everything. Nobody will let them live, but Philly's a tough town. It really is.
I know. It definitely is tough, but I still thought that move was, I mean, at least they didn't ship him off to Oakland. He could have come out here. That would have been amusing for me, but probably not very nice.
You know what? That would have actually been fun.
That would have been hella funny, but it probably would have been like a horror show for him. That poor
running for his life every play.
No, that poor defensive player that got shipped out here. Is it Seymour?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what the hell? I don't know. Oakland is not the place people want to flood to, I guess. Anyway, I don't know. I'm always drifting on the football. I shouldn't, you know.
No, that's okay. I think it's Friday on the front porch, and B, there would have been something metaphysically wrong with the universe for you and I not to talk about little Timmy Jesus.
Oh no, I mean that one is still rattling in my head. I don't understand it. It's so gruesome.
I haven't gotten the one thing. Where did Colt McCoy go?
Well, this fool is like waiting. He should go tonight, or maybe he already went. I don't know. Isn't it on now? I don't know.
I think it is, and I'm not getting the updates like I was getting last night. But
right. Well, no, I think he's both him and that Notre Dame kid. They fought at the top of the second round.
I got a note from David in Tennessee earlier today saying the universe has shifted. The first round of the NFL draft went by, and not a single Miami Hurricane nor a single USC Trojan went in the first.
Are you kidding? No US. Wow, that's interesting. See, I hadn't paid attention that closely. No USC people.
Nope.
So you telling me that their boy up in Seattle didn't even get one? That's a shame.
But Fresno State had a first rounder. Boise State had a first rounder.
Fresno State is a damn good football school. It's a nasty ass town, but it's a good football program there.
Yeah, and frankly, Boise, you know, hellacious football players up there right now.
Oh,
Smurf
Boise,
Turfy,
yeah.
Notwithstanding.
Yeah, they had one kid go out, didn't they, in the first round?
Yeah. And Ron and Raleigh writing in and saying, Timmy's supposed to be a virgin, right? The first time one of those NFL groupie huzzies gets a hold of him, he's going to go buck wild.
Ew. You know, thank you for that. Who sent that in?
That was Ron and Raleigh.
Thank you, Ron. What? Ew. Yes, I know. I mean, you can, you know, please. I mean, I
how you, you know, how you going to keep them? How you going to keep them down in the mega church once they've seen the big city lights of Denver?
I don't know. As soon as he starts tapping some ass, it's probably going to be over with. One can only hope.
You know, I'm so proud of what I just didn't say.
Oh, no. Well, of course, I'm sure I was crude enough for the both of us. No,
this was just going to double up on the time I had to spend in the shower after the show, and I didn't say it, and I'm proud of myself, and it shows a little bit of mature restraint on my part. I can't tell you how proud I am of not saying until somebody taps his. I did it.
You did it. That's the thing, though, that is just lurking in the on the horizon with that freak. Ew. And that's going to be so funny when that goes down, because it will go down.
You know what? Hey. I want Pittsburgh to trade Ben Roethlisberger to Denver to bring Timmy along.
Oh
I'm Timmy. Evil. I'm evil.
I keep thinking that they're going to deal Ben, but I guess not. I guess they don't really have any other option.
No, I think they're still exploring him.
I think because, you know, that's nasty. I know we went through it already, but I still can't believe what that guy did. And it seems to just be chronic, and they seem to think it's not going to happen again.
Well, have you seen that picture of him and it wasn't from when he was in Milledgeville, Georgia at the Capital City Bar.
Mm-hmm.
This was some time earlier in his notorious career. It's a photo of him standing next to some lovely young woman. He is obviously drunker than Adam's off ox, and he's wearing a T-shirt that says, drink like a pro.
Oh, yeah. No, he's a winner, that guy. No, for sure. Ew. I just can't imagine that Rooney family is putting up with it, but I guess they have to.
I really don't think they are. I still look for something to happen before training camp.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be. I mean, that would be sort of what I would expect, because the information coming out about him is just ew.
Because I mean, look, the Steelers already have Charlie Batch back, and they've got what's his name? Dennis, was it Dennis Dixon from Oregon? You know, they got something to work with.
Yeah.
So they're not.
I just don't see how that Mike, what's his name? Tomlin. Tomlin, I just don't, you know, he don't strike me as, I just don't see how it's going to gel. You know, he looked like somebody that's like one strike and you're on, you're out. You know what I mean?
Like I said, I talked to cabbies and bellmen and waitresses in restaurants and bartenders and everything while I was up in Pittsburgh. I couldn't find a single human being that had a good thing to say about Ben Roethlisberger. Get him out.
Yeah.
And, you know, that wonderful Pittsburgh accent. Get him out of town.
Well, you know, and this is like another sport, but you know who I'm also pulling not to win is that Cleveland again. I want them to go down. I want them to get close, but no.
You don't want LeBron to have his ring?
No, I'm not interested in him. You know that fool? One game he was playing, and he got a hard foul, and his mother jumped up, and he said to his mother, shut up and sit down. And after he did that, I was pretty much done with him. I'm like, oh, is she an employee too? You know what I'm saying? You don't talk to your mother like that.
No, you
don't.
Who the hell
you are?
No.
So I'm like, I fish out of him now, because that's to me, I'm like, you did what? You going to tell her to do what? Ew. So, yeah.
Yeah, because
I know
Mama, in that case, Mama really is why he is where he is.
Well, I just, who cares? I mean, obviously people are going to, you know, be supported, make money and all that stuff off of him. I mean, that's how it goes in that type of professional sports. But for him to do that, I don't know. It just sort of kind of gave me the heebie.
Wow, when did that go down?
That was a couple of years ago.
Okay.
And it, you know, it was a while back, but it's just something that's always stuck in my mind. I just thought, ew. So, yeah, I'm not a fan.
Because, you know, that's the whole discussion is LeBron will only be great when LeBron has a ring.
I don't, you know, I mean, the thing about that is that I heard something really interesting about the whole offense for that team. If you look at it, when it's towards the end of the game, it's all him. So there's no way they're ever going to win a championship like that, you know? So I don't know.
Well, I don't either, and I have a hard time watching the NBA. I gotta admit. Although, you know, once you're into the playoffs, it is a different game, and I can watch a little bit of that.
Yeah, no, I can't say I'm a huge fan of the NBA. I used to watch it all the time with my mother when
it was Magic and Bird,
yeah,
and
I have to say I was sort of right there then.
And that thug under the basket for Detroit, what was his name?
Lambert?
Yeah.
Shut the hell up. See, that's when I used to watch, and they had the short shorts, you know?
Yeah, the Guess Your Religion shorts?
Yeah, John Stockton, God bless him, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, listen.
All the places you take me. John Stockton, well, God bless him.
Yes, you know?
Oh, you hurt me.
Oh, my God. So, listen, have a good weekend.
Oh, you too. You too, Sandra. Okay. Take care.
Bye.
Bye now. You know, we were watching the Ferg and I some old NBA footage, you know, with the shorts. And Ferg just looks at me and goes, "Dad, what's with the shorts? Did they make them? Yeah, they made them wear. Dad, that's just wrong." Yeah, son, and I'm old. John Stockton, God love him. Oh, mercy. Well, this has worked out nicely. We are about 8 minutes from the end of the program. And, let's see. Let's find something that we can sort of bring. Yeah, I mentioned that Glenn Beck is going to give the commencement address at Falwell University. No word yet on whether or not he's going to bring his chalkboard with him. Let's end it this way. Apparently, this is a real story. And apparently, it has kind of a happy sort of at least midway point. You know, when you got money, and you can go anywhere you want to, you can make a lot of demands. Like, bring me a bowl of M&Ms and take all the brown ones out. The service, the hotel and hospitality industry will go a long way toward making you happy. One went a little too far. Namely, the Ritz-Carlton in Naples, Florida. Man, this thing looks nice. Palm trees and the limo in the drive. And it looks like about 12, 13 floors, sort of a Spanish revival sort of thing going on, two towers. Nice. Probably got an honor bar with bottles of water for $53 in it. You know, that kind of hotel. Well, last month, according to ABC News, the Naples Ritz-Carlton honored a request by a family staying there that said they did not want to be served by, quote-unquote, people of color or any staff with, quote-unquote, foreign accents. This is all contained in a recently filed federal lawsuit. One of the current employees, a man named Wadner Tranchant of Haitian descent, is suing the hotel, saying that he was discriminated against by not being able to serve the family at the restaurant in March, and that the resort created a hostile or abusive work environment. The lawyer for Mr. Tranchant said the suit speaks for itself, and Mr. Tranchant has been appropriately schooled by his lawyer. When ABC called him, he had no comment. Good, good. And he's seeking more than $75,000 in punitive and compensatory damages. Here's where it gets interesting. They contacted Vivian A. Deutschel, a spokeswoman for the Ritz-Carlton hotel chain, who said, "Obviously, we can't comment on pending lawsuits.
However, it is the policy of the Ritz-Carlton Hotel Company to neither condone nor tolerate discrimination or harassment of any kind by either our employees or our guests. Having said that, she did note that the family that asked that they be served by whites only with no accents has been banned from all Ritz-Carlton hotels worldwide. Now, they can't bring this up in the lawsuit as proof that it actually happened, but that kind of proves that it actually happened. And it's the end of the program and the end of the week, and here I am saying it again. For the love of God, dear God, it is 2010, and we're still dealing with incredibly wealthy white families who show up only wanting to be served by white liveried people in a hotel. I don't know that it was a white family. That part I'm assuming. But lo and behold, if the Ritz-Carlton did actually ban this family from all Ritz-Carlton hotels worldwide, you know, this is not where you come for praise of corporate conduct. But on first blush, I kind of got a little golf clap to the Ritz-Carlton for getting it right. No matter how much this bigoted, sickening family spends, their money's no good at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel. There is no likelihood whatsoever that I will ever have sufficient funds to stay at the Ritz-Carlton. But if I did, I would consider staying there, just knowing that they have no tolerance for guests who behave in such a despicable manner. So that's the program. Thank you all for joining me this week and this evening. I'll be back Monday evening. No action point with Cynthia Black this weekend insofar as she's still waiting for Chris, her inestimable producer, to get fully well from the bug that's kind of had him. But we will have the Rick Smith Show from Pennsylvania on both Saturday and Sunday. Haven't heard from John about All Foxed Up. His schedule's kind of gone sideways on him, so that may be transitory at this point. But we will be back live with Conversation Radio on Monday evening at the usual bat time on the usual bat channel. Thanks to all of you who keep the horn going. Sincerely. Thank you very much. Your dedication makes all of this possible. The conversations, the dialogues, the website, the chat room, that bill's coming due, you know, thank you. If you haven't contributed lately, we could certainly use the help. There's a PayPal button at headonradionetwork.com and a snail mail address, all under the tab at headonradionetwork.com called Contribute. Thanks to Sue, our webmistress and den mother of the chat room. Thanks to Lottie. Thanks to John Fox, to Peter Godbold, to Ben Birch at whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan, to our blogger, Texas Betsy, our Southeast correspondent, Matt Osborne, of osborneinc.com, OSBORNEINK.com. Make it a daily read. And thanks, of course, also go out to my head writer, David, in Tennessee. Do not forget, of course, another one of the reasons we're on the air is because of the support of Coal River Mountain Watch. The hardest working, bravest people I know, crmw.net and coalriverwind.org. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Holy cow. And by the way, to those listening on the rerun stream, my apologies. Stupid Bob forgot to click the record button, so you just missed the first 17 minutes of the program. That's my fault, not yours. But picking up where we left off, this is the danger of what happens when a country forgets its civics. This is the danger of what happens when a country neglects to actually learn what is in its enabling legislation. There's nothing in the Constitution about securing the borders with armed killers. Let's see what else Sheriff Tony Estrada. That's a fine old Italian name, Estrada. No, it's a fine old German name. No, it's probably Icelandic.
It's very risky and it's very dangerous. These individuals that are moving people or drugs through these remote areas of the border will stop at nothing.
Members of law enforcement worry militia could get caught in the crossfire.
Caught in the crossfire? Sounds to me like they intend to start the crossfire. What was that quote? By the way, what was that quote from Bill Davis? And he's a grizzled old guy sitting in a webbing lawn chair or something. If it come, and you can, that's not exactly a Southern Arizona accent, is it? Is that what we're dealing with? People say that the border areas are magnets for illegal aliens, but just listening to Bill Davis, it sort of makes me think that Arizona and places like it are magnets for bigoted racist malcontents as well. Let's listen to that accent again and see if we can place it within some geographic region of the Great Southwest.
The founder of Cochise County Militia Group says he's looking for a few good combat veterans with kill records. Bill Davis says after the death of Robert Krentz near Douglas, Southern Arizonans can no longer be passive. So he's putting together an armed militia to camp out on the border. Davis says he wants professionals who are not afraid to use deadly force, but also know when and when not to use it.
What we could do is call the Border Patrol and hope they pick them up and mile down the road.
Yeah, what we could do is call the Border Patrol and hope they pick them up a mile down the road. What part of Arizona does that accent come from? Just asking.
Well, we're not going to do that anymore. If we think they can.
Yeah, we're not going to do that anymore. Had to leave his homeland. He's displaced. He had to leave his homeland because it was overrun by the liberals.
Carrying contraband, drugs, weapons. We'll get out in front of them and stop them. They won't get past us. I think that they're...
They won't get past us. Makes you wonder if his nickname's, you know, Billy the D or something. Sitting there in his flannel shirt. If it comes to when shots are fired... Well, okay, no, like Billy. If it comes to when shots are fired in the general direction of these guys, they have my authorization to return fire. If they're in defense of their life or their buddy next to them, return fire, stop it as fast as it starts, and they're capable of it. Do you notice that? They have his authorization. Well, then again, there was a bill signed today that for all we know, it may provide the state of Arizona may be providing authorization now. This guy is actually advertised for combat veterans with kill records. With kill records. You know, I'm having some second thoughts here. You know, not too long back, you know how excited I am. We're going to be going, I'm sincerely hoping, and things are looking quite good, we're going to be going and doing some rather massive coverage of Netroots Nation this summer, late July. Nothing like late July in Las Vegas. And I called up MapQuest. Said, you know, give me a route from West Virginia to Las Vegas. And what it has me doing is going across I-64 to St. Louis and taking some road that runs down to Springfield and jogging down through Tulsa to Oklahoma City and picking up another road that's going to wind me up in Amarillo, Texas, and shoot me across New Mexico and Arizona and then into Vegas. Knowing what I know, I got real misgivings about going through Arizona. Or, and I'm sorry, Texas. New Mexico, I'm not quite so creeped out by yet. Lord knows I'd love to go through Albuquerque. But I'm wondering if I need to find some sort of great northern route and go across to Denver and swing south or something. And do you blame me? I don't know how people... I know there's a significant liberal community in Arizona. One of our a member of our Horn family spends a significant portion of her year every year in Arizona, our dear Kate. And frankly, I don't know how she does. I don't know how anybody does. At this point in time, I don't, and of course the weirdos, wing nuts, birthers, baggers, deathers, tenthers, and assorted booger eaters would be more than happy for all the liberals to leave. Well, you know, that or politely line up to be shot. But I don't know how people do it. I don't know how you live liberal in Arizona. Our dear Fancy is out there. I don't know how y'all do it. Every day to be bombarded with this racist BS, this bigoted, phobic, xenophobic, and I'm sure there's some homophobia hiding in there too somewhere. Just to be awash in that swill day after day after day after tormented day. To me, it would be like dealing with some sort of mental abuse. I don't know. Maybe for folks out there, it's a lot like what it is for us here dealing with the realities of mountaintop removal. David in Tennessee informing me that the guy, Bill Davis from Arizona, is from that portion of Alabama that lies centrally between Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. It wasn't far enough north to be a true New York accent. Lord knows it wasn't Bostonian. I was thinking maybe Jersey-ish, but no, it could. Yeah, I think David's onto something. He's probably from somewhere, yeah, that portion of Alabama that lies between Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. Going back to the screaming Nicaraguan.